Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this go? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this go?
Our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get up, get to me. I just want to remind you one more time. I'm going to be on y'all. The Blanket Drive, the Blanket Drive, the Blanket Drive, December 15th, and I've decided, you know what, I'm just going to be down at Carver House from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on the 15th. We need volunteers, and we need your blankets. If you cannot make it on the 15th, dropping your blanket off, please feel free to come to the station between now and the 15th and drop your blankets off here at 265 Union. You can get them at the dollar store. We're talking about those $5 blankets. Talk to your friends and your neighbors. See what you can do to get them to give you $20. $20. That's 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 15, 20. That's 4 blankets. That's 4 blankets that you can get for $20. Talk to your folks and get them on down here to the station. We'll read your name off on the station here. You know, you can drop the blankets off. It's the 3rd annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. We want it bigger and better this year. You know what? Y'all need to participate. I look forward to your help. We're having a meeting on Friday at 6 o'clock right there at the White House, at Irene J. Smith's place on Friday at 6 o'clock for all of our volunteers. We need our crew of volunteers. Pass the word on. I talked to some folks last night, in the St. Louis Public Schools. They're getting their classrooms involved in it. They're having their babies bring some blankets down. It's a big deal. Let's make this bigger and better. We've got a winter storm coming in. Do we know how to time things or what? You know what? The Wake Up Call 3rd Annual Blanket Drive is December 15th. You can start bringing your blankets to the station right now. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back after this break. Stay with me.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Steele.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Steele.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the 3rd annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
You want to know what's going to get in me? Just a little touch of stock one or two. And if that food right goes too far, love of the very best, real out of town,
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. You know, I guess, how do you, I'm trying to figure out, what is fair here? I'm going to tell the story and just let y'all just decide what is fair here. Apparently, the Bush twins have lost their minds, celebrating their 25th birthday. News stories are reporting that the country that they've been visiting has asked them to leave because they are partying their stories of their partying are overshadowing the U.S. diplomat who's supposed to get to visit the country. There are tales of them partying up and down hallways of the hotels naked, drunk, losing their minds. Now, you know, I've been to a party or two. I've had a beer or two in my day. I've done some things that I will not, you know, repeat. Okay, I mean, many of us have when we were in our 20s, you know, did some stuff. I understand that. And I can't imagine having the light of the world on me as I discovered myself in my 20s. I was in 30s. I gotta ask the question. I mean, I did it when I was 3,000 miles away from my father and there was no videotape. You know, no cameras, no tape recorders, you know? I don't imagine that I would have done, I don't have any recollection of ever running down the hall of a hotel naked. I'm trying to understand the stupid things that you do when you're in your 20s. And that's what your 20s are for, quite frankly. And 30s. But your 20s are definitely for doing stupid things. Okay? I will accept that that's what your 20s are for. You think you know everything, and I know that I thought that I knew everything when I was 20 years old. And I was laughing, yeah, you're 20? 20? But, you know, I mean, if you can imagine, it was worse when I was 20, in my 20s. But if my father was the president of the United States, I would have been super discreet about anything that I did, and I would not have ever done anything reckless to put my father and what he was trying to do for the world in jeopardy. These girls don't give a hoot. They just said, bump that, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and if there's beer involved, I'm going to do it louder, faster, and nakeder. So what does that say? I mean, is it fair to ask the question, how were these children raised? I mean, given the fact that a lot of us did some stuff in our 20s. You know, and you also, you wonder if these children, these daughters of George Bush, the only children of Boy George, two girls, twins. You got to ask the question if they are living the life of Riley, running naked down the hallways, and having their purses stolen. Now, my question is among many questions, how do you get your purse stolen when there's Secret Service members that are supposed to be guarding you? How does somebody get close enough to you to get your purse? rumor has it is that the Secret Service have thrown up their hands and said, you know what? Nothing I can do with these two. Nothing I can do with these two. That's what some of the reports are saying. But I gotta get back to this. I understand the exuberance of your 20s. I understand the excitement of the 20s and all of the experimentation that goes on in the 20s. It's a lovely time. It's an exciting time in your life. But you're living large like this, while other 20-year-olds have shed blood and are dead. There are 20-something, many, many, many thousands of 20-something-year-olds that are buried in the ground because they were off, because they didn't have the choices that you have. Does it mean that you should be, that they should be dressed in mourning garb? No. But aren't they somewhat sensitive? Shouldn't they be somewhat sensitive to what is going on with the rest of the world? Apparently not. And I guess it wouldn't be fair to ask these girls to these young women to be something that their mama and their daddy ain't, or their grandmama ain't. Lord knows their grandmama ain't. So I guess it's not fair. So I guess in talking this through with you all, I understand why they act that way. Why shouldn't they? And their grandmama is under the warp sick position that the Superdome is better for the evacuees of New Orleans than living in their homes. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Prince Carter, good morning.
You know, I first of all, I kind of disagree with you say what George Bush is doing for the world. I think he's trying to do everything for his family and his pockets.
No, I mean the position.
What he's supposed to be trying.
Exactly, the position. I mean that if you were the child of that person, you would think that this my daddy's trying to do good things for the world. That one would think that that's what you would think.
Well, if you can't control his own children, how is he going to be able to control things that's going on in the world? You know, Bush was on TV last night after all these soldiers had lost their lives. Now he want to come out and ask the people over there, what do we need to do to get out of there? After they went over there and got all the oil, I guess they're ready to go now.
Mm.
You know, but I just wish, Liz, that all those folks that have lost loved ones in this war, they should just follow him wherever he go. I wish they could just follow him and show pictures of their loved ones. The lives that have been lost because of something that he has created, and now he doesn't know how to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
That is just so sad. Folks sitting around, moving and crying over their loved ones, and he's trying. Well, he finally, maybe got enough sense and know he should have been out, but now maybe.
No, wait a minute. He's not talking. He said we're not getting out of Iraq. He said we're not getting out of Iraq. Okay, where he's talking about right now trying to get up out of Afghanistan and trying to get help, extra help in Afghanistan. But he said, we're not getting out of Iraq until the mission is accomplished.
Well, how many more dead bodies is that?
2,875 members of the military that they've admitted to have died.
That's the key word, that they have admitted to.
Mm-hmm.
What about the ones that they don't admit to?
Exactly.
Liz, in the city of Detroit, I don't know how long it's going to take, but there's some issues up here with that police brutality. We had a young 16-year-old that was shot and killed in the mall by a security guard who's an off-duty police. Just a day or so ago.
I can trump that. There was a grandmother that was shot to death in her home by police who said that there were drugs in the house and they were wrong in Atlanta.
A grandmother.
And then we cannot forget about Sean, I believe it's Sean Bell, who was shot 50 times in New York.
Ooh,
50 times. And I'm going to talk about that when I come back.
All right. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks, Prince. Take care. Listen, folks, I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back after this. Please stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Preparation Aids. Westbound 270 at New Florissant is closed due to an accident. Traffic is backed up all the way through 367 at this hour. Westbound 270 at West Florissant, that accident's been cleared, however. Eastbound 70 between K and 79, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 is slowing on either side of 44. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 270, look for slow traffic in the right lanes. Eastbound 40 at Timberlake Manor and 270, look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 5570 at 4th Street and the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank and the Laclede's Landing, look for slow traffic there as well. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, that ramp is moving well at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Preparation H. Carry Preparation H portable wipes, convenient little packets that hold very big wipes to cleanse, cool, and soothe even when you're not at home. Preparation H portable wipes, big relief to go. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers, high around 70. This evening, everything changes. Much colder, occasional showers and thunderstorms early in the evening, then occasional rain late and overnight with a low in the lower 30s. And for Thursday, get out your coats. Much colder, blustery, occasional rain, freezing rain, and sleet in the morning and early afternoons. And snow is expected late in the afternoon with a high only in the mid-30s and falling into the 20s by later in the afternoon. For Thursday evening, heavy snow accumulations are possible with a low in the mid-20s. And Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day, a high only of 30. Currently, we have 60 degrees and cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 62. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
That's right, that's right, that's right. Where else but Sears, 3425 Union, 3425 Union, Sears. They have washers and dryers and refrigerators and stoves and dishwashers and tools and treadmills. Get on down to Sears. Get your shop on. It's a holiday time. I know you need a big screen. Get on down to 3425 Union and tell them I told you to.
This is Congresswoman Maxine Waters. No matter where I am in the world, I can always get the information I need from the Wake Up Call with my friend Liz Brown.
This is Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU.
Scientists have discovered a way to reanimate dogs that have been dead for 3 hours. They fill you up with salt. They season you is what they do. It's a marinade, for lack of a better way to put it. So I guess realistically speaking, they could do this in China, right? So they fill the dog full of salt water. If it doesn't work out, the dog dies. Hey, you know, General Chow's chicken in the end. It all works out. Something about the zombie dog where you put salt water in them, kill them, and then revive them hours later, and the idea that it's intended for human trials. Who would volunteer for that?
Brett Rosen, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. on WGNU.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I wonder why I even like I'm invisible.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Don't forget about the blanket drive. The blanket drive. Thank you, Howard. The blanket drive is the 15th of December. You can start bringing your blankets here to the station or wait until the 15th and you can drop them off all morning. We'll have pickup for you right at the curb service for you. Just drive up. Drop your blankets off. We'll have people there in our wonderful Wake Up Call Blanket Drive T-shirts there, the Kelly Green T-shirts. Look for the Kelly Green T-shirts on the 15th. We also need volunteers. We need our volunteers. We need our Wake Up Call Blanket Drive volunteers. We're having a meeting on Friday at 6 p.m. at the White House. That's Irene J. Smith's place. You know that, Union and 70. So let's get busy, folks. Let's make this blanket drive something spectacular. It's the third one. It's the third one. The third one's the charm. We're going to do something magic this blanket drive season. So that's the 15th. Mark your calendars. $20 will buy 4 blankets. You just can't beat that with a stick. Blankets out there are $5. We're giving away new blankets. We're also going to, we have some sleeping bags that we're going to be giving away as well. And we're going to be giving, and also put it on your calendar that the next day, the 16th of December, is when we're going to hand the blankets out. So if you can't join us on the 15th, please, we need you on the 16th to hand out the blankets. Howard, oh my goodness, $20. Thank you so much, Howard. Way to start it off. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. $20 in my hand right now from Howard. Thank you, thank you, thank you. See, that's how it's done. That's how it's done, y'all. Bring in the blankets. Let's get this thing going. Let us have some, put some blankets on the streets of St. Louis. We know we have a serious homeless problem out there. We know that people are suffering out here. I don't care what Francis Slay tells you. It's rough for people out there, and we can change that. We can change a little of that with our blanket drive on the 15th of December. We need you on the 15th to bring the blankets, and we need you on the 16th to help hand them out. I know that a lot of you out there have young people in their lives that you want them to be able to contribute and to do things. Well, here's something that they can do. The 15th of December and the 16th of December. The 15th is when the blanket drive is, and the 16th Saturday is when we hand the blankets out. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to do. 454, all kinds of stuff to talk about. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. Welcome back. If you were here yesterday, my question is, it's about Bush and the al-Maliki summit. It's an interest. I was wondering if al-Maliki bends to al-Sadr's rule, what will it expose to the Americans, or the other way around?
Okay, you broke up on me a little bit. Say that again.
Okay, for the summit, if he bends to al-Sadr as well, what will it show to other people as regards as to his how would you say it, popularity?
If Bush bends to his will?
I mean Maliki bends to Bush's will. Well, he's caught between, let's try this, he's caught between al-Sadr and Bush.
Right.
And what's he going to do?
There isn't anything for anybody to do. I mean, and that therein lies the problem. Therein lies the problem. And what I also find interesting, Michael, is all of the other things that are going on outside of this. We have efforts, we have this so-called package or plan put together by Jim Baker, and it is being reported that one of the things that they're going to advocate is that Bush sit down with Iran, that Bush sit down with Iran and Iraq And one of the things I think that, and we recently, and also even the Hamas sitting down with all of the folks in the region and making this a regional issue. That's why the vice president went why he went to the Middle East on Monday to speak to the leaders there about trying to have a regional meeting on this, a regional collective act on this. So Bush is in Jordan right now trying to do that, but Bush does not want to meet with Iran. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're hearing a lot of news stories right now about the Hamas arming people, arming folks in Iraq. That's why we're hearing additionally bad stories about Iran right now, because Bush does not want to do what it is suspected that the Baker Commission is going to maintain and asked him to do. So I think it's a huge problem. I don't know what anybody can do.
Okay, I hope Teddy doesn't show up there with a shotgun in hand.
Beg your pardon?
Ooh. I hope Teddy doesn't go over there with a shotgun in hand.
Duck. Thanks for your call, Michael.
Thank you, and welcome back.
Thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. And I think it's important that we mark this. Yesterday was the day that put us in Iraq longer than we were in World War II. And I think it's important to mark to right now that military deaths in Iraq have hit 2,875. These are extraordinary times. And also, one of the stories that's being reported out here is the story of, and I predict this, and I've been predicting this, that Condoleezza, when it's all said and done, that Colin Powell's reputation will be forever tainted because of the lies that he was willing to engage in on behalf of this wicked administration. He will be remembered as the man who sat in front of everybody and lied at those hearings. And they're coming after Condi now. Oh, it's going to be a slow drip. Drip, drip, drip. But it's her legacy is going to be sullied. And it's going to be sullied about these CIA jails. There's a report that's coming out of the BBC that many EU nations were aware that the CIA used their territory for the transfer or detention of terror suspects. And there's a report that many governments acted cooperatively, passively, or actively with the CIA. And then there's another report coming out that Condoleezza Rice was meeting regularly with the CIA about these secret illegal jails. Remember that you heard it here first. When the story comes out, when the story breaks, when the news breaks on Condoleezza Rice, when the legacy of Condoleezza Rice is finalized and her reputation is sullied, it's going to be because of this. It's going to be because of this. 1-877-920-WGNU. In the next hour, we have the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. We haven't had a Public Schools Watch in a number of weeks. Oh, my Lord, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. My Lord, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. And you don't want to miss that. Peter Downs joins me for the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Okay, the gauntlet has been set. Howard handed me a $20 bill for the wake-up call blanket drive. That's four blankets. We already have. What y'all going to do? What y'all going to do for the blanket drive on the 15th? This is Liz Brown. I'll be back after this. Stay with me.
register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Esther Wright, General Manager of WGNU. I would like to take a moment to congratulate Liz Brown, winner of the 2006 award for Best Political Coverage Radio from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. Her discussion last January of the continued delay of government aid to victims of Hurricane Katrina is just another reason why we call it award-winning. Tune in weekday mornings at 6 a.m. to hear Liz Brown on the award-winning Wake Up Call, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
What's real and going on below, but now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up, get to me. My goodness gracious, we have all kinds of stuff to talk about. Now, what's in a word? What's in a word? What are in two words? Civil war. NBC News is now finally going to start referring to what is happening in Iraq as a civil war. Not approaching, not near, not almost, not descending into, but what it is and has been. A civil war. Now let me get this straight. Before we got there, no civil war. After we got there, civil war. And what's the plan here? That would be kind of like before America got to Germany, no concentration camps. After America gets into Germany, concentration camps. The answer would be get America out. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? You're a parent. Before your daughter started hanging out with Mary down the street, your daughter didn't do drugs. after your daughter started hanging out with Mary down the street, she started using drugs. Who do you get out of your daughter's life? Don't you get Mary out of your daughter's life? Of course you do. You get rid of the bad influences. America has been a horrific influence in Iraq. And it is only now that some news stations are saying that it is a civil war. For months, the news indies, and so you got to ask the question of, what are you reporting to us? You know good and doggone well that this has been a civil war for some time. And your decision not to use the accurate phrase to describe that, is political. Scared to use it before the election because didn't want to be attacked and saying, oh, there was a political decision to start calling it a civil war now. So you waited till after the election. That does all of us a disservice. George W. Bush has said, we do not believe that, neither Minister Malachi or we believe that Iraq is in a civil war. Well, you're a D student. What would you know? What would you know? I doubt very seriously that you could spell civil war without assistance. Understand what we are saying, what is going on. Now the media is finally starting to describe what has been the truth for months and months and months and months and months and months and months. How sad is it that it's considered a bombshell that Matt Lauer on the Today Show revealed that NBC had studied and debated the issue and decided that it will now use the term civil war freely. They will now start using the phrase civil war. How sad is that? Y'all had to debate this? You're on the wake-up call.
Dr. Brown.
D!
Listen, I had to go get my Liz Brown cup. I was having withdrawals. Top of the morning to you, my dear.
Rest of the day to you.
Thank you so much. You know, Kofi Annan is running around. Between a rock and a hard place, he's saying it's almost a civil war. And before he finished that sentence in a week, it's a civil war.
Yeah.
He's trying to do damage control.
Mm-hmm.
A little late.
Say it like it is. Say it like it is.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm so glad that you're back, and may the circle of God protect you and keep you for us.
And I look forward to working with you with the Blanket Tribe.
I'll see you.
I know that's right. Bye-bye. Thank you, D. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. J.W.
Hey, good morning, Liz.
Good Welcome morning. Back. Thank you.
Hey, listen, Liz, I was just wondering when you talked with Peter. I remember several weeks ago that Peter had said that he had even interviewed for that Bonner position and that it paid $72,000.
No, he didn't say that he interviewed. He said he knew someone who'd had interviewed for it.
Okay, I thought he said he had.
No.
Okay, I apologize.
Yeah.
I don't want to put stuff out. But right. the point that I'm making is that last night on You Pay For It, they kept stressing 125, and then at the very end, they snuck in Bonner's $72,000 salary.
Ain't that some stuff? And you know what really ticks me off, JW?
Mm-hmm.
What really ticks me off is that, remember in the beginning when we all were on this school, on what was going on with the school with Bill Roberti and how much money they were spending and stealing and stuff? You Paid For It didn't do bump.
Please bring that up, because I don't watch every episode, but I wanted your audience to remind me if they saw a You Pay For It.
No, they didn't. Wait a minute. I talked to that man. I saw him at the bread company. I gave him documents. I said, this is a story that you need to pursue. didn't do bump. And now you're going to come out here. And if that doesn't feel like the hand of Francis Slay, call it, picking up the phone and saying, we need some more stuff stirred up on about the St. Louis Public Schools. Go get him. How irresponsible. He's not getting paid that. So what was the you paid for it piece? I'm asking you, JW, what were people supposed to call about? He wasn't getting paid $100,000+. So what was it you paid for a piece?
It was just to keep it going and to create sound bites for Ms. O'Brien. I mean, that's what it's really about. I just come downstairs and now Channel 4 is going to do something about V. O'Brien and the people that's supposed to be outraged and should she stay or should she go or should she just shut up. That's how they, you know, promoted as they went to break. So I'm just saying, Liz, it's crazy.
Well, here's what I think I would like for people to do. I think that people should call Elliot Davis at You Pay For It and say, shame on you. You were nowhere to be found when Roberti was. Oh, he did some stuff after Roberti left. You know, that's a punk coward thing to do. Well, why didn't you do it when he was here? Why didn't you do the stories when he was here?
I mean, you know what, Liz, and I'm going to say this, and I do, I know Brother Irons, you know, but I would say this to him after what I read. Do what you paid for it or how much we didn't pay for
fact.
The Vashon program
fact.
For the last 15 years.
Fact.
You know,
do what you
do
pay.
An investigation on what the RTF reported
there
on
you
all
go.
Them different addresses and them kids.
There
you, know?
You go.
I mean, you know, just, you know, rather than just say it didn't happen, do an investigation,
fact.
You know.
Fact.
But anyway, Liz, I'm just waiting for this next hour because that rubbed me the wrong way last night.
And
where was these people at? Where was they at?
And again, what is the story here? This man is getting paid $72,000 a year. Y'all didn't say bump when people were getting paid $200,000 a year or $50,000 to come in and do an hour seminar. He wasn't nowhere when that stuff was going down.
Please, Liz, how many jobs was created when Roberti came to town? I mean, that was the other
How
thing.
Many hundreds of thousands of dollars?
Was created from Anthony Bonner? Was it,
no.
Did it exist?
No.
How many jobs was created when they stole all that money?
Absolutely. And I wish they would play time and time again what Francis Slay said when Bill Roberti came in and killed the jobs of thousands of citizens here in the St. Louis, in the city of St. Louis. Francis Slay said it's a great day for the city of St. Louis.
And it was a damn shame. When was it a damn shame? It wasn't a damn shame when the girl got raped on
the bus corner. It wasn't a damn shame when thousands of citizens lost their jobs and then no longer could contribute to the tax base of the city of St. Louis. It was a damn shame when he didn't get his way.
Yeah, when those other last two people lost. Yeah,
when he didn't get his way.
Yeah.
That's when it was a damn shame.
Well, I'm waiting on the next segment. You have a nice day. Welcome back, and hello to the nice lady.
Bye-bye. Listen, hello to the nice lady, Irene J. Smith. This is Liz Brown. The St. Louis Public Schools Watch is going to be coming right at you. Oh, yeah, we got some stuff. We have some stuff to talk about. Fasten your seatbelts. I'll be back.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound at the below, that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how
can But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease.
war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
That matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Get ready. Here it comes.
This is KidsCast.
News for kids, by kids.
KidsCast is brought to you by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse.
Reminding you that underage drinking can have dangerous consequences.
Visit us online at KidsCastRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Susanna Pinkley. Do you do all the little things you should to keep your body healthy? Do you know what those things are? We asked that question for our latest essay contest. Coming up, listen to the tips our winners suggested. Don't go away.
This is your Kids Cast Brain Teaser. Which country has more inland water and lakes than any other country in the world? To find the answer, head to our website at www.kidscastradio.com.
Bet you didn't know this!
The flea can jump 350 times its body. It's like a human jumping the length of a football field. Bet you didn't know that!
Well, be back with more Kids Cast after this.
Drinking alcohol is a dangerous thing for teenagers to do. You can lose control of your actions and do things you wouldn't normally do. Sometimes you might not even remember what you did do. Your health and your life are put at serious risk. Please remember that the decisions you make now will affect the rest of your life. Be smart. Choose not to drink.
A message from the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, working for healthy bodies, safe communities.
Are not children's toys. They are tools for grown-ups. They're not made for girls and boys.
More than 90,000 fires a year in the United States are started by children curious about fire, and 3,000 of them are injured every year by fire play. Teach your children that matches and lighters are tools for adults and not toys.
They can start a fire, blazing fire that destroys.
Did you want to be on Kids Cast? Find out how at KidsCastRadio.com.
This is your Kids Cast joke of the week. Where do married women go? Mississippi.
Are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
Games kids can play in the car.
The state gate. These playlists for the state on passing cars license plates. When one is spotted, the player calls it out and gets a point. That state can't be called again. The winner is the player who has called out the most states spotted by the end of the trip.
Hi again. In this day and age, with all the computer games and TV shows, kids just aren't as active. You might not even know what the things are that you need to be doing to stay healthy. So we asked Missouri kids to answer that question. Listen to our winning essay on keeping a healthy body.
The way I stay fit is by playing sports. I play baseball, soccer, and basketball, but you can play other sports like tennis, golf, swimming, and hockey. To stay healthy, you need to eat healthy. You need to eat foods like apples, granola bars, and drink lots of water. If you don't drink lots of water, you will become dehydrated and you could become very, very sick. Those are some facts about staying fit and healthy. Remember, stay fit and drink lots of fluids.
Get more health tips and ideas for staying active on our website at www.kidscastradio.com. Then, check out this site.
If math stumps you, you're certainly not alone. But there's hope. This week's site features math challenges for families. They've got fun facts related to math for further exploration. Plus, you can get to be led around by mathematical cartoon characters. Plus, you can learn about math and literature. Just log on to www.figurethis.org. I'm Logan Morris reporting for KidsCast.
That's it for this week. I'm Susanna Pinkley for KidsCast. Vaya con Dios.
KidsCast is brought to you by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse,
reminding you that underage drinking can have dangerous consequences.
Visit us online at KidsCastRadio.com.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
This WGNU News Update is brought to you by Sears Auto Center. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, temperatures today will once again be mild, but officials with the National Weather Service say that won't last. Winter weather in the form of snow and ice is predicted to roll into the St. Louis area Thursday morning. John Carney, a meteorologist for the National Weather Service, says there's still a lot of uncertainty with the storm, though.
A lot of this is still sort of in the mathematical models that we use to forecast the weather. It's still a lot of uncertainty. As I say, we're looking at a couple of different models, and they have, you know, some different solutions. One of them gives us a whole lot of snow and ice, and another one doesn't give us very much at all.
Carney says the colder weather will roll in later this evening and will drop temperatures by 30 to 40 degrees, and that could pave the way for below-freezing temperatures overnight in the winter weather that's expected to hit between 6 a.m. and noon on Thursday. And with that winter weather in the forecast and the calendar turning to December in a couple of days, driving conditions could deteriorate in the near future. Missouri Highway Patrol Sergeant Al Notham says in addition to allowing plenty of extra time to get where you're going, it's important to know how to handle your vehicle on slick roadways.
If your vehicle starts to slide, what you need to do is, first of all, you gotta slow your speed, and generally that's not going to happen. But you want to steer away from the sliding, away from where you're skidding. So if you're steering to the right, obviously you want to go back to the left.
That was Missouri Highway Patrol Sergeant Al Notham. That's a WGNU News Update brought to you by Sears Auto Center. Give yourself the gift of tires right now. Get the lowest price of the year on Michelin tires only at Sears Auto Center. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 12/24/06. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Missouri Lottery Scratchers. Westbound 270 at New Florissant. That accident's been cleared. There are residual delays all the way back through Riverview. Sunbelt onto the ramp to eastbound 70. There's a disabled tractor trailer partially blocking the right lane. Traffic is slow east of 370 at this hour. Northbound 55 at Bayless, there's an accident. Two left lanes are blocked and traffic is slowing near Green Park. Eastbound 70 at K and 79, you've got slow traffic there. Northbound 270 from Teslon Ferry all the way through Big Bend, it is slow go. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270, look for slow traffic in the right lanes. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and 270, heavy volume going on there. Westbound 5570 from 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is slow. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is slow in mid-span, and northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the top of the ramp, expect stop-and-go traffic going on there. Natural Bridge at Hanley is closed due to fire activity at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Missouri Lottery Scratchers. This holiday season, give everyone on your list Missouri Lottery Scratchers. They're a great gift for them and an easy gift for you. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers today with a high around 70 this evening. Much colder, occasional showers and thunderstorms early in the evening, then again late in the evening and overnight with a low in the lower 30s. Thursday, blustery, mostly much colder and occasional rain, freezing rain and sleet in the morning and early afternoon, and then occasional snow late in the afternoon, with a high in the mid-30s. Then the temperatures will be falling into the 20s by the afternoon. Thursday evening, heavy snow accumulations possible, low in the mid-20s. And then on Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon, with a high only around 30. Currently, we have clouds and 60 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 62. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call at St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs and Liz Brown. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, tell
me, brother. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
This is St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to St. Louis Public Schools Watch. And Peter Downs, it's been a while.
It's been a while. How are you feeling now?
I am feeling much, 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 much better.
Good.
It was bad. It was bad for a minute, but I'm all right now. And I guess what I would kind of like to start with, because I know we need to get into one of the an issue that has caught some people's attention. Let's talk about some good things that are going on in the district, because I don't think that sometimes when you have a press that's fixated on trying to show the district in a certain way, the good stuff kind of gets lost in that. So can you tell us some good stuff that's going on and exciting stuff that's going on in the district?
There's a lot of, I think, good stuff going on in the district. One of the things that I know the district put out a press release early in the week, I saw it,
mm-hmm.
and there are a lot of district students who have won honors and awards on things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have that list in front of me. Do you have?
Okay. Well, and yeah. Also one of the things that I am excited about is I have talked about how I've talked about or people have come to me and have talked to me about how this superintendent is doing something, that Borisov is doing something that superintendents have not been doing for years, that she's going around and meeting personally with each of the schools. Well, in fact, a Metro parent said to me, it was astonishing, she said, she just came to the district. She didn't have anybody with her. She came there. She talked to us. And we were, everybody that was so charged up after the meeting that all of the parents agreed to, we're going to the school board meeting just so we can show our support for the superintendent.
That is happening. The superintendent is going around visiting a couple schools every week,
mm-hmm.
and also asking for to meet with parents.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, she isn't going around with a whole...
These were all parents that I was talking to, you know?
Yeah, she isn't going around with a whole entourage.
Exactly.
She's not putting on airs about it. She's just going to hear what people, what teachers and parents have to think.
And the one consistent thing that I've heard about Diana Borisow, and that I've experienced with Diana Borisow, is once people meet her and talk to her and ask her the hard questions and ask her the difficult things, people walk away saying, number one, she's smart. Number two, she cares about this district. And number three, she wants to change the issues that need to be changed in this district.
I've heard that from many people.
And we're going to take a break. We'll be back. Stay with us. Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Merry Christmas.
To many in your local community, this is the sound of Christmas. Together, Walmart and the Salvation Army's Red Kettle campaign have been helping change the lives of those in your community for 20 years. And this year, our commitment is stronger than ever. From our families to yours, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Liz.
Good morning. Who's this?
This is Dontrell Busby calling you from Laclede School, Zeki Gray Room 209. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the gift from Africa that you gave to everyone. We are watching a movie. The movie is called Roots. In the movie, the setting is in a village called Jufurey. And Roots was voted by Alex Haley. Miss Liz, we had our Awards Day program, and I received an achievement trophy. Have a good summer. Dr. Busby from 209 for Dignity. Rise up, pray. Love you.
Love you. Thank you.
What a wonderful world.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I am Liz Brown. I'm here, of course, with Peter Downs. And Peter, there was something else that you wanted to share with the audience about a vote that the board had.
Yes, at last school board meeting, something that I think is moving the board forward. Two votes. One, the board voted unanimously to ask the State School Boards Association to come in with a program that's funded by the State Education Department of intensive training for board members and superintendents on what their roles are, what their jobs are in trying to move a district forward. And we're trying to get that training started up right after the holidays in January.
Very good.
And then the other vote was on superintendent evaluation. And the whole process for evaluating and possibly firing a superintendent, if it comes to that. But, you know, I came on the board in April. Before I came on the board, the school board had been through 5 superintendents in 3 years.
Because of Francis Lay and the board majority. And his
board
majority.
Yes, they kept changing over superintendents. Mm. There's no process in place for evaluating superintendents. The discussion at the board meeting was, we had a committee looking at it, but then they hadn't done anything. So Donna Jones and I proposed adopting the evaluation process from the Missouri School Boards Association, which is, at a minimum, a 2-year process. So the first year, you set goals with the superintendent. In the spring of the first year, then you evaluate the superintendent. If the superintendent has met the goals, great. You continue another year, you know, with new goals. If the superintendent hasn't met the goals, then you develop an improvement plan, a professional development plan to help the superintendent meet those goals, and you evaluate the superintendent again the following year.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on the same process used for evaluating teachers and principals. So this is in place now for the future, really for any superintendents we have, and it should cut down this constant revolving door that we've seen
under Francis Lay and his board majority.
Yes.
So you got those 2 votes in. That's a wonderful thing. So that gets us to kind of where I'd like to go to next in terms of what's going on in the St. Louis with the St. Louis board with one board member, because I mean, really that's really all we're hearing. It's just one board member out here, Veronica O'Brien. I am trying to, Peter, as I listen to her talk and be interviewed, I'm trying to figure out what is it that is being asked of by this one board member. It's not clear. It seems to be muddled. I don't understand what exactly this board member is asking for. Are you clear on what she's asking for?
No, I'm not. I agree with you. I think Veronica is, she has to explain herself on this. She is speaking as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that the board does consist of 7 individuals with basically equal power. You know, mm-hmm. it's 7 equals.
Does she have any extra vote as the president of the board?
No, all that being president means is that she presides over the meetings. She
mm-hmm.
chairs the meetings, you know, calls mm-hmm. on who's going to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Because
one of the things that as I listen to her and try to decipher what it is the complaints are, when I hear her say that she wants the state to eliminate the role of superintendent, I don't think I've ever heard a board member say, get rid of the concept of a super, I never heard Craig Williams say, you know, get rid of, I never heard Fitz Shamel say, get rid of the whole office of superintendent. How would that work, Peter? If you got rid of a superintendent over a district, what would happen?
Well, I don't think the district would operate very well.
No.
I don't think a suggestion that makes any sense, and I don't think it's one that she actually thought out well. In making the suggestion, it looks like she hasn't even looked at school law or anything or organization in Missouri.
Well, she's not a lawyer, you know, but just in a common sense way.
Yeah.
In your mind, because she's been on the board longer than you've been on the board.
Yes.
One would think that a person in the world of common sense would think this through. You eliminate the position of superintendent over the whole school. That's like a board member of Chrysler saying we're going to eliminate the CEO position.
Right.
You know, and so that means what, the board is now going to run the day-to-day operations of Chrysler?
Well, that brings to mind, that did happen with General Motors
mm-hmm.
about 20 years ago.
How'd that work out for
her? I was working for General Motors then.
And how did that work out for her?
And you had the chairman of the board led a majority of the board in kicking out the CEO,
mm-hmm.
and then the chairman of the board took over running the company.
Mm-hmm.
And as we can see now, General Motors is not exactly the...
Didn't work out too well.
You know, they're at the top of the heap of the auto world anymore.
Not anymore. And not only that, but then perhaps this may be the reasoning. If the superintendent's job was eliminated, I guess then it would come down to the president of the school board to run the district.
That might be a thought behind it. I don't see how the president could. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
That would be madness. It would be absolute madness because these board positions are elected. These board positions are non-paid. These board positions are citizens bringing their experience, their concerns, and representing their constituents on the issues that impact the St. Louis public schools. Veronica O'Brien has no skill to run a district. She's not a teacher. She's worse than Craig Williams, and that was really, really bad. I mean, in terms of skills to run a district, wouldn't it just be madness to say that a guy who got elected to sit on the school board who has no experience would now be in charge of running the entire district? Are there any districts in the United States where the president of the school board has replaced the superintendent and is running the district?
Well, there are 15,000 districts in the United States, so I don't know if there might be one out there where that did something
as insane.
Crazy
it's
like
that's insane.
You know, the we elect citizens to the board. We don't elect educators. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be an educator run. The idea is you elect citizens to reflect the priorities of the community and say, you know, this is what we want out of a school district. But then you have somebody who is a trained professional to implement that and make it happen. And when you're talking about eliminating the professional staff who runs the day-to-day operation of the district.
And who's trained to run the day-to-day.
And trained to run the day-to-day operations. It sounds like a recipe for things to just fall off and fall apart.
And also, this is one of the things that I think that everybody that's listening needs to be mindful of. There is a movement afoot within the Slay administration, within some Republican, other Republicans like Slay, out there with this whole idea of trying to get into the billion-dollar money pots of school districts to eliminate school boards in their entirety.
Yes.
To have the mayor's office appoint members of the school board and therefore have the mayor's office run the school districts themselves. What's going on with this one board member? Do you see that playing into the argument of those that would argue of the elimination of the school board?
Yes, I do. And I think if you look at the stuff put out by Mayor Slay, and I think later this week there's people from Mayor Slay office are speaking at some event on schools. That Robert Archibald, who was pushed into the board by Mayor Slay, the things they keep harping on the behavior of this one school board member to justify, to say this is why we need to eliminate school boards and have appointed boards. Of course, this one member was appointed to the board by Mayor
Francis,
Slay,
by
so,
Slay.
So maybe it really argues the other way. I don't know. But but they put this to say to eliminate the board. And what we've seen... One thing that I actually do agree with Robert Archibald on, though, he's quoted in this morning's paper as saying this is a sideshow. And he's right. Mm-hmm. What's going on the board really is a sideshow.
What's going on with this one board member?
What's going on with this one board member really is a sideshow. By most accounts from people, you know, I have teachers who come up to me on the street constantly saying how much better things are now. Mm-hmm. Teachers union is saying, hey, there's a glimmer of hope that this district is going to start working, and it's start working for the best interest of the kids now. That's the message you keep hearing. Things are on the right track.
And I'm telling you, Peter, I have talked to elected officials that I have been at odds with, or they have been at odds with me because of the position that I took in terms of supporting Diana Borisso over Craig Williams and supporting what happened with Craig Williams. Mm-hmm. Those elected officials have subsequently, something that they should have done in the first place, but have subsequently met with Diana Borisso. And every single one of those elected officials, without exception, has walked away saying, wow, she's really something else. She is really, really, I'm pleased that she's there.
Yeah, just this week, I got a letter from Sanford McDonald, formerly, the family that had McDonald Douglas, and he has a big foundation now. And it was a letter praising Borisov's initiative in putting character education back in schools and creating an academy in St. Louis Public Schools for training principals in how to do character education. One of the first districts in the country to create its own academy for that. And McDonald is supporting it. Emerson Electric, Anheuser-Busch, several of the major corporations have said, yeah, they're putting up $25,000 or $125,000 to come with the money to do this academy for 5 years.
Wow. Wow. And I'm telling you, it is across the board. Parents, elected officials, teachers, workers within the district are all extremely excited about and supportive of Diana Barstow, which makes it even more of a sideshow when you see one school board member, despite all of that, one school board member saying, get rid of her. Get rid of the whole position. Madness. We're going to take a break. We'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Sunbelt onto the eastbound 70. There's a disabled tractor trailer partially blocking the right lane. Northbound 55 from Bayless, or after Bayless. Look for an accident cleared. The residual delays exist between Lindbergh all the way back through Union. Eastbound 70 at Grand, there's a disabled bus in the right lane. Eastbound 70 from K through 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 44 from Mraz Overpass all the way to Merrimack River Bridge, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through Big Bend, look for slow traffic there as well. Westbound 270 at Bell Fountain, look for slow traffic due to an earlier accident. Westbound 5570 at Illinois 203 into the PSB, look for some delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit through the Laclede's Landing, look for stop and go. Northbound Route 3 after 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge ramp, expect delays there as it is stop and go. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue to the Poplar Street Bridge, expect delays. And northbound Natural Bridge at Hanley is closed due to fire activity. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Play Illinois Lottery's instant tickets, 11 tickets, $100 million in total available cash prizes. Illinois Lottery, have a ball, play responsibly. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Mostly cloudy day, 50% chance of showers, high around 70 this evening, much colder, occasional showers and thunderstorms throughout the evening and overnight hours with a low in the lower 30s. And on Thursday, much colder, blustery, occasional rain, freezing rain, and sleet in the morning and early afternoon hours. Then occasional snow in the afternoon with a high in the mid-30s, falling into the 20s by the afternoon. Thursday evening, heavy snow accumulations with a low in the mid-20s. And on Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day with a high around 30. Currently, we have 61 degrees and cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs and Liz Brown. It's the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed. Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, every single thing that you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. Looking good. Get on down to 3425 Union. It's the holiday season. They have great deals going on. I know you need to get your shop on, so get on down to Sears, the only full-service Sears in the entire city of St. Louis. Get there. Tell them I told you to.
The Westland Arts Council proudly presents Wintermarkt Saturday, December 9th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Greg Freeman Park at Kingsbury and the Pear. It's a local reimagination of a centuries-old German winter festival with handmade gifts, toys, decorations, baked goods, hot cider, roasted chestnuts, live music, carriage rides, and the spirit of the season. Proceeds benefit local artists and the West End Arts Council. Call the Skinker DeBolivar Community Council at 314-862-5122. Wintermarkt, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., December 9th.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Hi.
This is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
This is, good morning, Miss Liz. This is Amir Mahoney calling you from LaCree's school, second grade, from 409. Miss Liz, I had a good time with you. Miss Liz, our class is watching Roots. Kuta Kinte knows his roots. His mother name is Dipper, and his father name is Amaru. Kinte has dignity. Have a good summer. This is Amir Muhammad from room 209. For dignity, rise the plane. Love you.
Love you.
What a wonderful.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. Welcome back. And Peter, I'd like to continue to deconstruct what is being set out here in the media about what's going on with the St. Louis board and actually what is, and particularly with this one school board member, Veronica O'Brien. When I'm saying it's one school board member. Is that correct? I mean, is she working now with the Slay group? Is she isolated?
Most of what we hear out there is just one school board member. Mm-hmm. This talk, we refer to it, eliminating superintendent, is something that she went out all by herself to the media on. That never came before the school board.
So she didn't come to the school board and say, look, I have this great idea, I want to eliminate it, and this is eliminate the position of superintendent, and this is why. She didn't come to you all first?
She did not. There's no discussion of any of the things she's saying, which she's claiming would improve conditions for the children. None of that came to the school board for discussion on the school board.
So she went straight to Channel 5?
Yes. Yes.
And that's problematic, isn't it?
Well, it is. And we are a board. The district is run by seven people, and we have the authority to make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if she really thought that these were things that would improve conditions for the children, you'd think that she would come to board members first, have a public discussion
mm-hmm.
about matters to improve the district for the children, and just running off alone. I think she's kind of the problem here. I mean, any board member can run off alone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Any board member, and they're talking as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
The problem here is she presents it sometime saying, "Well, I'm speaking as president of the board," is kind of presenting it as
this is what
the board wants,
and
that's just not true.
And I guess one way of evaluating of whether or not she has the support of the board would be whether or not she had the support of the members to get the votes to make this done, make this happen, right?
And she doesn't. I think she wouldn't go to the media and ask the state to eliminate the position if she had the votes of the board members.
Which, once again, underscores the fact that this is one school board member out there without having had a conversation with any of the board, without having a discussion with the public that she represents. She's gone out there straight to Channel 5 to have this conversation.
Yes.
And let's talk about the impact of this one lone school board member, Veronica O'Brien, going out there to the media. What impact does that have on the district and on the efforts that you all are engaging in to move the district forward?
Well, it has more of an impact on the board than on the district, because
mm-hmm.
There is sort of a division there. A lot of stuff can happen on the school board. It has no effect whatsoever on,
mm-hmm.
on the district. And it has kind of a public relations effect
mm-hmm.
on the school boards.
Mm-hmm.
You have Post-Dispatch editorials, for example, will quote Veronica O'Brien or cite something that Veronica O'Brien did. and then kind of make this non-logical leap of mm-hmm. saying, oh, well, that proves that the whole board is dysfunctional, so right. we have to eliminate the board.
And we can see that in the reporting of the Elliot Davis piece. The Elliot Davis piece that talked about wanted to do a you paid for it on Anthony Bonner's position. And it was just like the piece that was reported in by the Post.
Right. The same thing. The reporter had the information. And Elliot Davis at the very end, and you had a call in an earlier hour mentioned this, at the very end slipped in that, oh, he's really being paid $72,000.
But the entire time he was saying 100 and what?
125.
And who was he quoting?
He's quoting Veronica O'Brien. And so the way, you know, he sets up the story to kind of skirt the facts by saying...
And the fact is that Anthony Bonner's being paid $72,000.
That's right.
That's the only salary he's ever been paid. That was the salary that it was the advertised for, and that's what he's being paid for.
That's right. That's right. So that's the salary. So Elliot Davis skirts that by saying, well, you know, board president Veronica O'Brien says he's getting paid $125,000, and then so he goes after her, well, why should he be paid $125,000? Why do you want to pay him $125,000? And keep emphasizing that 125, when again, that, you know, I guess if she said she could flap her arms and fly, would he do a story about she can fly?
Exactly. You know, so there is no story. No one's getting paid that, and only one person, one school board member, is saying that. So that leaves the impression, once again, that this is a boneheaded decision by the St. Louis Public School Board. When it's just one school board member, and it's fantasy. It is absolute fantasy that this person is paid this amount of money.
Yeah. And the unfortunately, the board has a reputation. We've had a lot of people that have seemed bizarre in the public's eye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a lot of people were very critical of Bill Haas mm-hmm. earlier. That didn't turn into, oh, well, the board should be abolished because Bill Haas is on it.
Wait a minute. Let's say bump Bill Haas. Ben Shamo was hitting people, okay, and calling people Nazis.
Ben Shamo was hitting people, calling people
brown
Nazis.
Brown-shirt Nazis, and Liz Brown, one of them. You know,
yeah.
so
And you know, that didn't turn into, oh, well, the board doesn't work. Abolish the board because, you know, Vince Shamo is abusive and violent to
mm-hmm.
people. Previous members, 20 years ago. You know, when the White Citizens Council was elected, and you had some outrageous statements there, and it wasn't, oh, well, let's abolish the board because
right,
of these outrageous statements.
Fact.
So
we have to be mindful that the reason that they're talking about abolishing the board is because this is the way that Francis Lay wants to control the money of the St. Louis Public Schools, create the atmosphere that we shouldn't have a board, therefore let the mayor run the office. And How many superintendents did we have when the mayor was running the St. Louis Public
Five.
Schools? Five superintendents. How many accreditation points did we lose when Francis Lay was running the St. Louis Public Schools?
I think it was 23.
23. So, you know, we know that doesn't work. We know that doesn't work. But people need to understand why we're hearing this noise from the district and not all the amazing things that people are saying about Diana Borisow.
Right.
And then before we get to our next break, let's talk about another wonderful thing. When Francis Lay was running the board, he eliminated thousands of people's jobs, and some of those people's jobs were the people that kept our schools clean. What's going on with that that horrific decision made by Francis Lay and his board?
Well, the board is looking at the jobs Sodexo has done and the amount it's cost.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a presentation and a work session last week. The administration, Diana Borisow's administration, is recommending bringing the maintenance workers and the custodian workers back in-house.
Wow. Outstanding. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, even Vince Shamel talked about how lousy the lawns and everything looked when Sodexo was running it.
That's right. That's right. And we've seen, there's part of the presentation that we got was just looking at how much work each maintenance person, how much work each custodian has to do, because we have, you know, a certain amount of space in all our schools.
Mm-hmm.
And basically our maintenance people have 30% more work to do than is considered acceptable by the Association of Schools, and is even considered acceptable by Sodexo in its other jobs.
Wow.
Our custodians have, like, each one has 20% more work to do than Sodexo and the school associations considers acceptable.
Wow.
And so it's.
And how much money are we paying them, Peter?
We're paying them close to $20 million a year.
And how do they make money when they have fewer people to pay, right? And give them more work to
do? That's
right.
Now, they claim, and this is something that came up there, because it would be, especially the first year, But it would be a little more, the presentation we got, it would cost a little bit more for us to operate in-house.
Mm-hmm, the first year.
That's actually, there's some dispute about that because Sodexo gave, that they base it on Sodexo saying, here we have X number of workers. We have 61 maintenance workers, mm-hmm. for example. And I've heard from a dozen maintenance guys saying, no, they only have 37.
Oh, really? So we don't need, wait a minute. So the district doesn't even know how many workers that Sodexo has working in our district?
That's right. We're relying on Sodexo. They're relying on Sodexo to give that information.
Wait a minute. We don't know how many workers that they have? They won't give us the names of the people?
I don't think our administration has delved that deeply. They say, here, give us a list. They just got a number. Based on that number, our workers are way overworked. Now, the workers themselves are saying, no, we don't even have that many.
So there are even more overworked.
They're even more overworked. But it also means that if you just compared apples to apples, if we had the same number of workers as Sodexo
Says that they have.
If we have the same number that Sodexo says they have, it's a little bit more expensive. Mm-hmm. You figure in some of the other costs Sodexo has, and it's about $500,000 more expensive out of a $20 million thing. Mm-hmm. So that's not a lot. But if Sodexo actually has fewer workers, then it would actually be cheaper.
Wow.
You know, then we say, all right, so it would cost us to run the workers because Sodexo is getting the same $20
million. $20
million. Yeah, so it would actually be cheaper.
Okay, we will be back. Hey, I've got $20 from Peter Downs for the blanket drive. Four more blankets out there, folks. Howard and Peter have tallied up this morning, folks. We're looking for your donations for the Wake Up Call Blanket Drive on the 15th of December. You get your blankets, and if you can't give your blankets out on the 5th or bring your blankets to the station or to Carver House on the 15th, please bring them to the station. They're $5 at the dollar store, $5 for a blanket. Let's get going, folks. We've got the blanket drive to do. My name is Liz Brown, and we'll be back. Stay with us. Thank you, Peter. Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time, it's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. No matter where you live, no matter what your lifestyle, you'll find out how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. My guests and I will give you the 411 on everything from classic design to the newest decorating trends. Join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411 every Wednesday at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your home.
It's time for a WGNU Global News Update brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston. President Bush and Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki will focus on security issues when they meet today in Jordan. The president made it clear yesterday he does not support U.S. talks with Iran or the withdrawal of U.S. troops when it comes to securing the nation of Iraq. Bush is under constant pressure to take a new course in Iraq, where growing violence is even causing some of Bush's allies to say the nation is close to civil war. The president, however, is refusing to call the conflict a civil war, saying it's all part of the same violence that's been going on for at least 9 months. Bush says his focus for the nation is for Iraqis to take charge of their own security before U.S. troops leave. That's a WGNU Global News Update. It's been brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston reporting.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate. 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Kaylin Dixon. Call you from the Clee School, second grade room, 209. I'm calling you to thank you for coming to our school and spending time with our class. School is almost out. This summer, I'm going to spend the summer with my family. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the pretty African necklace you gave me. I just love it. Yesterday, I received an achievement trophy at our Awards Day program. Have a wonderful summer. This is Caitlin Dixon for Room 209. Redictancy reigns supreme. Love you.
Love you.
Dogs say goodnight. And I think to myself.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm here with Peter Downs. My name is Liz Brown. Peter, we were talking about the Sodexo contract and the wonderful news about wanting to bring the custodian workers back in. What, during the presentation that was brought to you about evaluating the cost that Sodexo, that we're paying Sodexo, and what it would cost us if to remove Sodexo and bring it back in-house, was part of the evaluation or part of the discussion about an intangible, the intangible things that in-house custodians bring to the table when you have a custodian that has been with the school district as long, or a school as long as the principal has, and the things, the intangibles like that we have that we don't have with a big company like Sodexo doing it?
Yes, very much. They're both from the presentation from the administration, from Dan Anderson, and then also in comments from Bill Purdy and me. Dan Anderson talked about, in her recommendation, when she recommended bringing maintenance and custodian work back in-house, and she said one of the big benefits that it's hard to quantify with a dollar amount.
Intangible, yeah.
An intangible. Is that the district then gets control over the work. So we can see that it's, we have control to make sure it's done right, and that it's done in a timely manner, and that it's done the way it's supposed to be.
And don't we also...
So that's one. She went on. Okay. She had like four. Another one she talked about is the loyalty of employees.
Exactly.
And that it's clear, she gets the sense going on, the outsourcing has really fractured that loyalty. And people come in, it's just a job working for Sodexo, and maybe they're here 6 months, maybe they're here a year. But they... You know, they're working for Sodexo. They aren't working for St. Louis Public Schools.
Our children,
we don't have a commitment to school building and the children and the teachers in it. And having them work directly for the schools so that they have a sense of ownership, really, of that building and a direct relationship with students and teachers is she looked at it in terms of benefit in getting in doing the work better, in the quality of work. I added that there's also an educational benefit. There are a lot of studies out there saying that to really educate children most effectively, that it takes everybody. It's not just the teachers. And we know, and I know you've heard stories. Yeah, it takes a village, and you've heard stories from of somebody who, you know, the person they're related to, what was the custodian? They got a problem, and they go to the custodian first. Maybe the custodian talks them into going to the principal or something. But you need that... everybody involved in looking out for the interests of the kids. And when the custodians or the food service workers are no longer have that relationship of saying, well, I'm not here working for the school, and I might only be here a few months because they might transfer me someplace else and transfer me someplace else, you break that foundation, which is there to help raise kids up.
And also, not only the foundation, but you also break that line of defense to protect the babies. To protect the babies. I mean, you have a custodian that went to high school at Beaumont, okay, graduated from Beaumont, and he's now working in Beaumont, and he knows the family of one particular kid, and he's watching out for that kid, and he's able to bring that information to a teacher who he knew because he went to Beaumont with that teacher as well. So you have another layer of protection for those children.
That's right. That's,
you know,
right.
So, and we gave all of that up. That was all given up when Francis Lay and his majority brought in Sodexo.
Yep. Yep, it was.
1-877-920-WGNU. And so when are we going, have we had the recommendation made to the board?
The recommendation was made to the board in the work session.
Okay.
It hasn't been formally made in any business section where it could be voted on.
Mm-hmm.
The discussion at the work session was of having another public meeting to get public comment.
Excellent.
About this.
Okay. So you'll be letting us know when that's going to happen?
As soon as I find out.
Excellent. 1-877-920-WGNU. Mary.
Yes, I've heard that because of low attendance, they're going to merge some of the middle schools and close others. And if this is true, when is it going to happen and what schools will it affect? Thanks.
Thank you, Mary.
I haven't heard that. I know the discussion I've heard, and just discussion, nothing that has come to the board yet for a decision, but kind of the discussion that the administration has told us they're having, is they want to continue the policy adopted, I think it was last year by the board, of transitioning schools to K-8.
Mm-hmm.
But they're looking at what schools are large enough to accommodate K-8. We had some of the recommendations of the previous administration were for schools that simply didn't have the size to hold eighth grades. So that's one thing, to continue the transition for K-8. Except in magnet schools, that they would preserve the middle school magnet schools. That's the discussion I've heard. I haven't heard of any schools being merged yet. Now, there was at the school board meeting last week a facilities committee established.
Mm-hmm.
Is chaired by Flint Fowler, that will look at how our facilities are being used and whether or not we need more or less.
Mm-hmm. You're on the St. Louis Public Schools Watch.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. Good morning, Peter. Peter, I would like for you to get a message to Ms. O'Brien if she's not listening. Has she at least forgot Mayor Slay said the biggest mistake he could ever make when he appointed her to that board? Now, the previous board, Veronica couldn't open her mouth. They outvoted her. Now she let this job go to her head. But I want her to know, Peter, and Ms. Brown to know, I am a Dr. Borshaw supporter. Y'all have turned this thing around, Peter. Peter, you let Ms. Veronica O'Brien know that she will have to face the voters of St. Louis when her term is up. As far as I'm concerned, if she can't get her act together with Dr. Borshaw, she can come off that board with Ron Jackson and Bob Archibald. Keep up the good work, Peter, and let Ms. O'Brien know we're not taking that mess from nobody, especially her. Let Dr. Borshaw do her job because the people of St. Louis are tired of that mess. And like I said, she will have to face us. We can get her off that board and get somebody else to be the president, Ms. Peter. Thank you. Have a nice day, Peter.
1-877-920-WGNU. And in terms of the presidency, again, you said, Peter, that Veronica doesn't have any more authority than any other school board member, but it presides over the meetings.
That's right.
And when is the election for the next election for president of the board? When would that take place?
Well, that would be in June.
In June?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if there's a school board election for two school board slots in April.
In April.
And then after the new board members come on and presumably get to know people, then there's an election for the officers of the board.
And the two people that will be up for election would be Ron Jackson and Bob Archibald.
Yes.
Okay. Have we heard anything about whether or not Bob Archibald is going to run again? I've heard some rumors out here that he may not run again.
I've heard rumors that he may not,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, but filing opens in a few weeks and
we'll find out.
Lasts for a month and we'll find out then.
Larry, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, question is for y'all. I was just wondering, there's no talk about the engineers anymore.
What question do you have about the engineers?
Well, Peter made a remark earlier in the show about trained, licensed people. Well, that's what us engineers were. I was an engineer with the board. Hi, Peter, by the way.
Hi, Larry. Actually, when we talk about bringing maintenance people back in-house, I thought that included engineers.
Well, engineers was a separate group. We were actually stationed in the schools operating these things.
So,
I understand, but in the list of employees that we got, the list of job classifications that are included in maintenance to be brought back in-house, mm-hmm. that includes engineers.
So there you
that
go,
list
Larry.
Includes engineers.
So, all right.
Okay.
Good news. Thank you very much.
All right.
Is there any time limits on that, Peter, at all, that you can give an about time?
No, as I said, the discussion at the work session last week was to have a public meeting for comment. The president was supposed to set that up. I don't know if that's been done and what time they're looking at. And I think maybe at the next meeting we'll see if there's a resolution.
I'll be there.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
See, good news out here. Good news. And, Peter, we didn't have a chance to talk entirely about the last school board meeting because I was sick last week. How about this? Can we come back next week and talk about all of the things, all the votes that took place in the last school board meeting?
We can do that. And next Tuesday we have an administrative meeting. It's already the first Tuesday of the month.
Oh, my God. It's already the first Tuesday. Okay. So we have that meeting as well. Very good. All right. Well, then I will see you next Wednesday.
I see you then.
And again, thanks for the blanket drive donation.
You're welcome. Put it to good use.
Absolutely. Okay. I'll be back in the next hour. We're going to be talking about black box voting. How did the electronic machines work in the last election? Was it all good because we won, or was it bad despite the fact we won? We're going to talk about that in the next hour. Stay with me.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how do you stand?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that
for the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The stakes are high. President Bush heads to Jordan later today for a meeting with the Iraqi prime minister. But the White House may already be wondering just how much Nouri al-Maliki can do. Here's ABC's Ann Compton.
The language of the leaked report is pretty blunt, questioning the capability of Prime Minister Maliki to control the violence and to control his Shiite sponsors. The memo says Maliki is either ignorant of what's going on or misrepresenting his intentions.
Security is tighter than usual in Amman.
Soldiers 50 feet apart line the routes to be traveled by the president. Cops in full battle gear are stationed nearly at every street corner. There's even an armed paratrooper station on each floor of this hotel. That's not it. Some schools are being let out, and helicopters have been buzzing the capital for the past 24 hours. As one retired general here said, it's not every day that the leader of the free world comes to Jordan. We have to make sure that it's secure.
ABC's Matt Gutman in Amman, Jordan. Do you think your kids spend too much time on the Internet? One in five parents tell a USC study they think so. Researcher Jeffrey Cole says most parents do think their kids need some time online.
If used properly, and if parents will really get involved and talk to their kids and understand how they use it and also understand all of their elements of their lives, it can be a very good thing.
80% of kids say the web is necessary for homework, but most of their parents say it really hasn't made much of a difference at all in their grades. Pope Benedict celebrated Mass today outside a stone house on the Aegean coast. It is an extremely holy site for Christians. It's where many believe the Virgin Mary spent her final days. All aboard Amtrak. More people are taking the train these days.
Amtrak says its total ridership rose 1% in the year ending September 30th. The railroad says high gas prices and airport security hassles played a part. Other analysts quoted in USA Today say higher airline ticket prices also sent more people to train.
ABC's Steve Taylor in Washington. Amtrak service is busiest in the Northeast Corridor. This is ABC News.
I'm cruising in my ride line. 16 switches. Gotta get my floss on. Watch your head.
Life may never be clean, but with Hoover, your floors can be. Hoover FloorMate cleans all your hard floors. Hoover Wind Tunnel 2 Upright vacuums your carpets. Buy them together and get up to a $100 mail-in rebate. So use Hoover and keep it clean. Offer varies. See Hoover.com and participating dealers for details. Expires 1-7-07.
I'm a mother of three. I'm a three-time Wimbledon champion. And I'm just beginning a whole new career. And whether you're an active mom or a pro athlete, we all face the same threat to our lives and health, osteoporosis. That's why I take CitraCal calcium supplements, because bone loss and osteoporosis are not going to slow me down. I'm Chris Ever. I'm 51. and I am strong.
Tell us about a strong woman you know at StandStrong.com. CitraCal Calcium. Stand strong.
Now, you'd expect to be carded if you go to a bar, but a Pancake House, a restaurant in Massachusetts, was doing more than just asking to see IDs. Here's ABC's Karen Chase.
IHOP. Come hungry, leave happy. And leave your license at the door while you eat. That was the temporary policy at one IHOP in Quincy, Massachusetts, until customers complained and national headquarters found out. Restaurant managers were trying to put the brakes on dining and dashing, running off before paying the tab. But customers found it much harder to swallow than the rooty tooty fun and fruity. One pointed out the most expensive thing on the menu is $8.99, and as he put it, I'm not buying the Hope Diamond. Officials at national headquarters said the license-leaving policy was imposed without their knowledge or approval and apologized to all customers who were inconvenienced. Karen Chase, ABC News.
The Red Hot Kids band The Wiggles may be looking for a new lead singer. The group is expected to announce tomorrow that Greg Page is leaving the group due to a serious illness. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Here's a WGNU News update brought to you by McDonald's. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news this morning, police continue to search areas frequented by a man killed in a police standoff in Lima Monday in hopes of finding the man's three missing family members. St. Louis County Police Officer Tracy Panis says they're concerned 38-year-old Anthony Lynn may have harmed 76-year-old Norma Manolokas, 56-year-old Nedra Flippo, and 59-year-old Michael Paulit. The three haven't been seen since last Wednesday. Police are also looking for the family's 2000 Sandy Brown Chevy minivan with Missouri license plate 171XRE. Lynn was shot and killed by police during Monday's standoff. In other news, the lone survivor of a deadly train accident in St. Clair County remains hospitalized. Doctors and family members spoke yesterday on the condition of 12-year-old Julie Seymour after she suffered injuries to her brain, clavicle, forearm, ribs, spleen, and liver. Doctors say she's in stable condition and are optimistic about her physical recovery, but it's too early to determine whether she'll fully recover mentally. Julie's uncle, David Previance, says they're amazed she's still alive. The accident killed 43-year-old Tina Porter, her 13-year-old daughter Alyssa, and 13-year-old Donna Calvert last week in Marissa. A Granite City man faces criminal charges for having a sexual relationship with a teenage girl. 21-year-old Dean Gundlach is charged with three counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse. A relative of the girl, who's under the age of 17, reported to authorities Gundlach was having sexual contact with the teen. Gundlach's being held in the Madison County Jail on $75,000 bond. Finally, this hour, a St. Louis man awaits sentencing in February on child pornography charges. George Pope pleaded guilty yesterday to possession of child pornography. Prosecutors say technicians at a Best Buy store found graphic images on Pope's computer when he brought it into the store for repairs last year. Pope faces up to 10 years in prison. That's WGNU News, brought to you by McDonald's. McDonald's new premium roast coffee is not gourmet, it's better. Taste for yourself. Get a free small coffee during Free Coffee Mondays. McDonald's, I'm loving it. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Sears Auto Centers. Northbound 270 at 40. Look for an accident in the right shoulder and traffic's backed up through Manchester Road. Westbound 70 at Grand. Look for a disabled bus blocking the right lane. Traffic is slowing near Madison in both directions, 170 at Delmar and Page. There's construction reducing the roadway to two lanes, and southbound traffic is slow near the Rock Road. Eastbound 70 at K and 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 44 from Bowles through Merrimack River Bridge, it is a slow go there. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through 44, expect delays. Northbound 55 at Lindbergh and Bayless, it is slow. Eastbound 40 from Clarkson through McKnight, look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain through New Florissant, still slow due to an earlier accident. Eastbound 70 from 370 through Zumbel, look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 at Illinois 203 in the Canal Bridge, you've got slow traffic. And westbound 5570 onto the PSB, it's tight there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic, expect delays from 5570 split all the way into the landing. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Sears Auto Centers. Give yourself a gift of tires. Right now, get the lowest price of the year on Michelin tires, only at Sears Auto Centers. Exclusion applies. See store for details. Sale ends on 12/24/06, Christmas Eve. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Mostly cloudy day, 50% chance of showers, high around 70. This evening, much colder, occasional showers and thunderstorms throughout the early evening hours and late evening and overnight hours with a low in the lower 30s. And moving on to Thursday, blustery, mostly colder, and occasional rain, freezing rain, sleet, and snow in the morning, early in the afternoon hours, and then snow in the afternoon, with the temperatures in the mid-30s falling to the 20s by the afternoon. Thursday evening, heavy snow accumulations are possible with a low in the mid-20s. And Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, then partly sunny throughout the day with a high around 30. Currently, we have 62 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 62 as well, both under cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget that the show is archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. You can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. I think a lot of people are still slightly hungover from the voting election results from a few weeks back. People are giddy. People are happy. People are excited. People are saying, see, the election process works. Did it? Did it? We need to talk about that. We need to talk about whether all the votes that were cast were counted. Did this electric voting process, because this was the election that where so many states voted for the first time electronically, did it work? Well, we're going to have that conversation with the director of BlackBoxVoting.org, joining us from Seattle, Bev Harris. Bev, good morning.
Good Good morning.
How are you?
Just great. How are you doing?
I'm outstanding. So, how do we do?
Oh, we didn't. There's no difference in terms of the integrity of the election. I think it's a real trap when people start saying, well, our guy won, so therefore there's integrity in the election.
Mm.
There's absolutely no difference 4 weeks later in the integrity of the system. We still can't count the votes. We still can't authenticate them. We still can't get any information out of these people about what happened. We're still finding miscount after miscount. We're finding, if you look at the lead story on blackboxvoting.org, it's a horrifying story of a poll watcher who was in there. They gave out four or five different results out of the central tabulator. They clearly had no clue what the results were supposed to be. The results later were less votes than they were earlier. And
wait a minute, the technician.
I mean, it isn't a matter of who wins, and we've got to get that through our head. It's a matter of we've got to have elections that we can have confidence in.
And there was something amazing that came out of Sarasota County in Florida.
Exactly.
And I'd like to talk about that when we come back, because that's the story I think that really kind of tells where we are, don't you think?
One of them.
Bev Harris, director of blackboxvoting.org. We'll be back. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back with this conversation. Stay with us.
Several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Oh, well. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This hour I am talking to Bev Harris, director of blackboxvoting.org. She's joining us from Seattle, and we're talking about voting integrity. And Bev, on the way out, we were talking about, you were going to tell us about Sarasota County in Florida, the 13th Congressional District race. What happened there?
Well, in that race, we had many reports from people saying they tried to vote for Christine Jennings, and when they got, it's a touchscreen, and when they got to the confirmation panel, their vote was blank in that place. And indeed, then when the results came in, there were 18,000 blank votes for Christine Jennings. They've tried to blame it on the ballot, on the design of the ballot, saying it was hard to find, but I really don't buy that because the reports I was getting on Election Day were that people had voted for her, and when they got to the confirmation panel, it kept turning up blank, and they would keep going back and vote and go find it blank again. One person, this happened four times. And so that doesn't sound like it's a ballot design issue that they just missed her race. In fact, they were trying extremely hard to vote for her. So, and there's also a very disturbing report indicating that there was a demographic pattern to the heavy amount of blank votes. So that's
what's the demographic pattern?
That minority areas and the areas which would tend to go Democrat had the higher number of blank votes. Now that would need to be correlated with, I suppose, some old elections back before the days of touchscreen to see if that's a pattern that was in every election.
But shouldn't there be some concern about the fact that there were 18,000 so-called undervotes? Doesn't that raise a red flag?
There's no reason for it. They could certainly have an option on the ballot that says, I choose to not vote on this race. And then there would never be a controversy over whether you forgot or not. So I don't understand why that hasn't been done a long time ago. we found another race in Georgia
where
there was a candidate that got undervotes.
Well, before we do that, I'm trying to understand this. 18,000 undervotes. Was there a paper trail with this in any kind of way? How do you audit whether or not something went wrong with the process?
There's no paper trail in Florida, and there definitely needs to be a voter-verified paper ballot. However, we're finding the paper trail on these touchscreens is not the answer. It's this little flimsy receipt that 75% of people don't even know they're supposed to check. And in the one audit they've ever had where they've actually checked all these paper receipts against the machine, happened in Cleveland in the primary this year, the paper receipts didn't match the machines. So we have deeper problems than just a paper trail, or even just undervotes. There's some very concerning situations going on in Kentucky where there were vote flips, where, in other words, people would try to vote for one candidate and it would show up for the other. But what was very concerning there is it's not a touch screen. It was a roll-a-wheel machine. So the common excuse they say, where they say the touch screen was miscalibrated, doesn't apply. There's really no real explanation other than fraud for why you would have a non-touchscreen machine flipping votes. So, you know, the whole issue boils down at its core to secrecy. If we can't see what's going on, we can't accept the system.
Well, and talk to us about that, because it doesn't make any sense to me that we would have a system that determines how our votes are counted, but we as the citizens are not allowed to see how they do that?
Right. That's exactly the crux of the problem. You know, the Freedom of Information Act, which is also enacted in every state, if you read the act, the first paragraph in every state and at the national level is this. The premise is that citizens own the government and they can't exercise oversight over the government unless they have access to the information. Well, I think that goes double for elections and voting. We own the government and it's our vote, and we can't exercise oversight over an election if we can't find out what's going on.
Because these companies, the Debo companies and other companies, are saying that they have a right to not tell us how they are counting the votes and the protections that they have in place.
Well, and the elections officials themselves are now claiming in many locations that they have a right not to give us information. In Florida, citizens have requested documents under the Freedom of Information Act and have been told they cannot have any information until after the contest periods have expired.
Why?
There's.
I mean, why are they saying that?
Well, because they want their job to be easier? I don't know. I think that
is there a defense of that? I mean, okay, they say no, but certainly there has to be an explanation of why they're saying no.
Well, we don't tend to get explanations from the, you know, the elections officials, many of them are really good people, but there's some direction and some leadership in the elections industry as a whole that's really bad. Essentially, in my opinion, if you're doing proper accounting, even the glitches and the errors need to be revealed. In other words, you don't say, ooh, you know, the result came out wrong the first time because of such and such benign error, so we're going to cover that up, and we're not going to release the results until we're sure they're right. No, you have to actually release the whole process, because in accounting, for example, it's called journaling. If you have something and you run something through twice and, you know, there, you find out you have to back it out and fix it, you don't just erase it and say it never happened. You log it and say, this is what happened. We backed out this entry because we put it in twice or whatever. Well, the elections officials, their leadership seems to be saying, wait until you have everything exactly how you want it before you release any information. It really should be released pretty much immediately as it happens. And with today's technology, there's no reason that can't be done.
When we look at what happened in Sarasota County, have they finished counting and who won that election?
Oh, well, no one knows who won that election, like so many elections in the U.S. There's no way to know, really. And it isn't even just the close elections because, you know, people think back from the old paper ballot days, well, if it was just a small number of ballots that separated people, then they would do a recount. But with these electronic machines, the errors can be huge. I mean, it can be a complete reversal of what it should have been, and we have many documented situations like that. So as long as you can't authenticate and see what's going on, there's no reason to assume legitimacy of any election. And it sounds like strong words, but I must tell you, I spend all of my day trying to collect the records and trying to audit these things, and you can't get the information to make any sense of anything. And when you do finally get the documents, I got to tell you, 9 times out of 10, they don't even match up. They don't reconcile.
But isn't the problem also who you have to go to when you get this information? Because there's not one central place that you can go to and say, look, here's a problem here. You have a little local place here in one Florida county that may react differently to that information, and then over here in Texas.
Actually, I don't think so. I think we need to keep it decentralized. Mm-hmm. In fact, this is very interesting, because I work with getting information from the townships and cities. There's some states, like Wisconsin, that has, you know, I don't know, 70 counties, but it's got 1,900 townships, and they all run their own little elections. So that would seem to be very dispersed. But what I'm finding is, in the smaller community-based systems, even though there's a lot of different people to go to, they tend to be much more conservative. They tend to not go for the touchscreens, and they're much more responsible to their local citizens. I think it's very, very dangerous to try to go to some sort of federalized fix. That's how we got into this mess in the first place.
Well, let's talk about that. The question is how did we get to this mess?
Well, it's been growing for quite a while, since the 60s, because the citizens kind of weren't overseeing anything, and they just figured the government would get it right, which is always very dangerous. But the vendors and some of the procurement agencies, and oddly some defense industry contractors, decided to really push for brand new voting systems in 2000. Well, they really started the push in 2000, interestingly, before the Hanging Chads issue.
Mm.
I find that, you know, the big stereotype is it happened because of Hanging Chads. It did not. It was already in the works. But they pushed and got this Help America Vote Act through, which mandated the purchase of these, well, arm twisted, I guess we should say, the purchase of these new machines every place. But we were using voting machines, and the punch cards are also a computerized system. And so we didn't have it, and all of a sudden we did. The punch cards weren't a paper ballot anyway. They were counted by computers, not by hand. They certainly weren't designed to be counted by hand, as you can see from looking at them trying. It's actually been since about the 60s that we've been heading this direction, and it just got onto steroids in 2002 when they started just pushing these paperless touchscreens.
We will be back. I'm talking to Bev Harris. She's the director of blackboxvoting.org, joining us from Seattle, and we're talking about the integrity of our voting process. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Preparation H. Westbound 78 Grand, there's a disabled bus blocking the right lane. Traffic is slowing near Madison. Southbound 270 on the ramp to 44. Look for an accident. Right lane is blocked. Eastbound 78K and 79, you've got slow traffic. Eastbound 44 from Bowles through Merrimack River Bridge, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 from Teston Ferry through 44, it is a slow go there. Northbound 55 from Bayless through Carondelet, expect delays. Eastbound 40 from Mason through Clayton Warson, look for some slow traffic going on there. Westbound 270 from West Florissant to Graham Hanley, still some delays going on, maybe residual from earlier accidents on westbound 270. Westbound 70 from 370 to Zumville, you've got slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street onto the PSB, look for some delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is very heavy all the way into Laclede's Landing. And northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB has returned to normal this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Preparation H. Preparation H cream relieves burning, itching, and also gives you maximum strength pain relief on contact. Nighttime is the right time, too, for Preparation H cream. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers today, high around 70. This evening, much colder. Occasional showers and thunderstorms early in the evening, then again late and overnight with a low in the lower 30s. Thursday, much colder, blustery, occasional rain, freezing rain, and sleet in the morning and early afternoon. Then occasional snow in the afternoon with a high in the mid-30s and falling into the 20s by the afternoon. For Thursday evening, heavy snow accumulations are possible with a low in the mid-20s. Then on Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day, but that'll be deceiving because the high will only be 30 degrees. Currently we have cloudy skies and 62 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else indeed. Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, every single thing that you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. You need a treadmill? They got it. You need a dishwasher? They got it. Get on down to Sears, the only full-service Sears in the entire city of St. Louis. It's time to get your shop on and tell them I told you to.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis.
Sponsored by Reasonable Construction. Stop putting it off.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, Tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I sing like a hornet. They won't let me have it, not even if no one else want it. And if I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it. I'm the greatest man alive. I cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm the...
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I am talking to the director of blackboxvoting.org, Bev Harris. She is joining us from Seattle. And Bev, welcome back. In terms of this last election, how many states went to this electronic voting that didn't have it in the last one?
Quite a few, although some of them tend to be the states we don't look at as the heavy population bases. The whole state of Utah, the whole state of Mississippi.
The whole state?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, what's particularly troubling is when they do these statewide buys, and they essentially grab control away from the counties and the cities. In Utah, the lieutenant governor basically ordered all the county officials that they were going to use the Diebold touchscreen system. They didn't have a choice. One election official had us come in and actually look at the system, and we found stunning security flaws that ended up in the New York Times. He was fired for having the system evaluated independently.
Mm.
He was an elected official, and he was fired. So how does that happen? We don't know. And in the state of Mississippi, the state of Georgia, so there's a real push to try to grab control at the state level from just one guy, who can, of course, be in the pocket of a vendor or whatever, or not have the best interests of the citizens at heart. And that really puts the local officials in a bind because they are told they have to do the election the way that they're told by the state. that also happened in Mississippi, Georgia, and Maryland.
These are entire states.
Right. Where the entire state, and they made a statewide decision and said, you will do it our way, and ordered the local officials to buy the equipment they specified and do it their way.
Have we seen any states that have gone electronic, that have begun to either actually reverse themselves or have now began to backtrack and reconsider?
Well, Arizona is, you know, they were really pushing toward the touchscreen, and then they put in a paper trail. We are seeing states put in paper trails. But the paper trail on the touchscreen machine, it's, you know, adding a printer to it, is turning out to be a very poor implementation, and it doesn't really do the job for us. The reason, part of the reason, is because the vendors, they're like the six-year-old who doesn't want to do the dishes, and you say you have to do them, so he leaves globs of food on it and stuff, hoping you'll never ask for that again. I mean, the implementation of the paper trail on these touchscreens is horrendous. They put it in little tiny eight-point type that you can barely read. They put like a Cracker Jack-style magnifying glass over it, this thick kind of distorted thing, and it's on this thermal paper where the ink disappears after a couple of months. It is, and they put a door over it so people don't even know it's there, and you have to lift the door in order to see it, and it's like, what were they thinking when they designed this thing. So, again, you know, you have the elections officials held hostage by the vendors.
What about lawsuits? Have there been any successful lawsuits against the any of these machine manufacturers as a result of the results?
Well, you know, voteraction.org is amazing. They're all that in a bag of chips. I mean, they have got lawsuits going all over the place. They've got one down there in Sarasota. They are led by Lowell Finley, who is the lawyer who first started winning these lawsuits. He did a lawsuit for me and one of our directors, Jim March, in California, forced Diebold to cough up $2.6 million. Would have been actually more had the Attorney General not caved in on a bunch of things.
He's and weren't there criminal charges?
In Colorado, and he's got one in Sarasota now.
And weren't the, I mean, wasn't the Attorney General in California, wasn't he supposed to, he had said that criminal charges could be pursued?
The Secretary of State recommended criminal charges. They should have been pursued. The Attorney General, Bill Lockyer, did not pursue criminal charges against Diebold, and instead the local DA in L.A. pursued criminal charges against the citizen who leaked the documents showing that Diebold was engaging in criminal conduct. Those charges were just recently, this citizen just recently, his name's Stephen Heller, he's an absolute hero to me. He was facing 5 years in jail for leaking documents in which Diebold and its lawyers were planning to lie to the Secretary of State and did lie to the Secretary of State, and that was what the criminal charges were all about. Well, they didn't pursue the charges against the company, only against the citizen who revealed the information.
Mm. And what the result of that has been?
He pled guilty to a felony.
He pled guilty to a felony?
It's terrible, you know, and he had to mortgage his house for his lawyer's payments and so forth. He had to pay a fine of $10,000. It was... I think more than anything else, Black Box Voting contributed to his cause, and so did a lot of other people. So he was somewhat out of pocket, although he got a lot of his expenses covered. But what's so terrible is he lost his job over this.
He has now has a felony on
2 years of torture for his family.
He has a felony on his record now.
Yes, and he can't vote. What he did was release documents showing criminal conduct. You know, this is so twisted where we're seeing these companies just skate by over and over. And at some point, when you sit in the seat that I do, you have to go, some money has to be changing hands somewhere.
He can't vote, but Diebold owners can.
Right. It's so difficult when you have private corporations, or Diebold is a public company, but most of them, ESNS, which is the one in Sarasota, it's huge. It's as big as Diebold in voting. It's not got all the ATM business and so forth, but it's a very big company in terms of the elections market. And it's a privately held company. We can't even find out the names of all the owners. I mean, we don't even know who owns this because it's private. Their financials are private.
There is. I read an article out of California about Senator Dianne Feinstein. Apparently she is going to be taking a look at the e-voting, and there's this piece of legislation that they're also asking folks to, or asking her to consider, the Rush-Holt Voter Confidence Act. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, and I think it's dangerous. There's two bills that are out there. One is by Dennis Kucinich. It's House Bill 6200. That's real reform. It talks about hand counting the presidential election in 2008, which is what they do in Canada on federal elections. They turn around the whole election in 4 hours. There's very little controversy. The Holt bill, if you want to cede all of your right to oversee over to the government, go for that. Mm. It sounds good. It's lovely little candy on the surface. But when you look at the side effects of that bill, you will lose your right to oversee your own elections. And not only that, but it will be by an appointed committee. And the committee is appointed, is three people. Guess who they're appointed by? The president. Do we really want that to be the oversight committee for our elections as opposed to the citizens themselves? I don't think so.
Let me get to a caller or two. Dimitri, do you have a question for my guest, Bev Harris?
Yes, I do. Good morning, Liz.
Good
Welcome
morning.
Back, by the way.
Thank you.
Ms. Harris, I have issue with the voting process in this country. You are forced to only vote yes. You cannot vote no. You cannot indicate dissatisfaction with either candidate. Some people do it by not marking the box opposite the candidate, or they vote for the lesser of the two evils. But it seems to me that even when you stay at home and don't vote, that's even a vote yes for the candidate, because it's not a negative vote. So how can this election be fair when you are forced only to say yes and no opportunity to express dissatisfaction? Thank you, Ms. Harris.
You know, he brings up a good point. Most of the civilized countries in the world don't have this winner-take-all system that we have. They have some form of proportional representation or instant runoff voting, which allows you to kind of go for your first, second, third, fourth choice.
Well, explain that. Break that down.
A formula by which they do that. It's a system that tends to get more moderate leadership because you know, you don't have these spoiler effects where you say, well, we'll bring this candidate in from the third party, but he's actually used to spoil the chances of this other one.
Well, Beth, explain how the proportional voting works.
Well, it's hard to explain in a quick radio show, but there's several different variations on it. But essentially, when you vote, you don't just vote for one choice. You can vote for your first, second, and third choice, or first and second. And they have a mechanism of sort of dropping the worst ones out, dropping the ones out at the end that don't get, you know, that are the last choice of everyone, and then reapportioning it. And the reason that I'm kind of vague on this is every state seems to have
a different way of doing it.
Of how they actually do that last math formula for it.
All right, we're going to take another quick break. I'm talking to Bev Harris, director of blackboxvoting.org. She's joining us from Seattle. Stay with us.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
It's time for a WGNU Global News Update brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston. Dateline Aruba. There's been a possible break in the Natalie Holloway disappearance almost a year and a half after the young woman disappeared off the island of Aruba. The attorney for the suspect in the case, Joran Vandersloot, allegedly met with the prosecutor in the case to talk about his client's guilt. Dutch crime reporter Peter DeVries says Vandersloot's attorney, Anthony Carlo, asked to speak to the prosecutor in, quote, secret.
Mr. Carlo said, I have to clear my conscience. I can tell you that my client, Joran, has played a major role in the disappearance of Natalie Holloway, and I want you to know that. I can tell you that he is playing a major role in this.
DeVries says this meeting occurred just a month after Natalie disappeared. Natalie's mother, Beth Twitty, says DeVries has proven this was a case that involved obstruction of justice. That's a WGNU Global News Update brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate, 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This hour I am talking to Bev Harris. She is the director of blackboxvoting.org, joining us from Seattle. We're talking about voting integrity even after the election results of 2006. And Bev, when we look at the problems that we see with the electronic voting across this country, can we make the case that this is a partisan issue?
It could be a partisan issue. Probably there are some statistical studies that indicate that there were some broader-based attempts by the Republicans, and they just didn't turn out to be quite enough at the end. But I know because of my work that it's not really at its heart a partisan issue. It's a custody issue. Whoever has custody of the machines has an unfair advantage. And I definitely have been working with some situations that are Republican situations, local sheriff's races and so forth, where the Democrats kind of swooped in and did things they really shouldn't have done. So I think it's really a trap to start looking at it in partisan terms. It's very motivating mm-hmm. for people. You know, they, oh, well, if we can just solve this, we can get our guy in.
Mm-hmm.
But the risk there is that you don't fix the underlying problem, and it really is a cancer on the confidence in elections. So what we have to do is get the citizens back in. You know, we the people need to be back in the process, and we need to be able to get the information. You know, that you also can't really mandate a lot of different security fixes. What really works is oversight. But you can't do oversight without the information. So I think at its heart, we've got to say, elections officials, you need to cough up the records immediately. We need to get the secrecy out of the computer part of it completely.
And you, last time we talked, you described something that happened in one of the elections prior to this last election, where the ballot cards were put into envelopes and put in the back seats of taxis.
Oh, yeah.
and just sent off to who knows where.
Oh, same thing happened this time.
Well, that, and that was my question.
Cards going missing all over the place. I don't know what they do about it when they miss the memory cards. I mean, do they not count them?
It's insane. I mean, there is a serious chain, a custody issue here.
Yes, exactly. And by, you know, what we have to look at is this better or worse? I know people say, oh, don't go back to old hand counting, it's old fashioned. But look at it from a chain of custody standpoint, and I'm saying don't make it worse. If you're going to use technology, then you've got to have the same kinds of chain of custody. When you hand count at the polling place, the ballot box is in plain view of everyone all day. They can't see the ballots inside it necessarily, but they can see the box sitting right there and people putting ballots in it. And it never leaves the polling place, and they take them out right there in front of everyone. The public can watch, and they count them in front of everyone. Now, that is not, that really eliminates a lot of chain of custody problems. The minute you start sticking things in, and by the way, this goes for centrally counted, hand counted ballots as well. When you start sticking ballot boxes in trunks of cars, memory cards in back seats of cabs, stick them in envelopes, hand them off, accidentally leave them in the machine, I mean, your chain of custody is out the window, and you really can't say that the election is, that at least in those particular precincts, that it has validity.
Well, I know my station is a polling place, and it was, and we had the electronic voting. I know that for about a week and a half after the election, the machines just sat down in where anybody, because the building is a mixed usage building, anybody, 24-hour building, people can go in and out, and the machines were in a place where some people couldn't see if you were doing something to it.
Right.
Is that a problem?
Yes, because, you know, to manipulate one of these machines takes under 60 seconds in so many cases. And, you know, just the management problem that's involved, because it's so complicated. And when you have a complicated system, you have many different failure points and many different attack points. We had a report from a guy in Bloomington, Illinois. And, you know, it was a very private kind of location where they had the touch screen. And he said they had left the keys attached to it with a little bread tie. You know, he said, I could have been in there for 5-10 minutes, unlocked the machine, done whatever I wanted.
Wait a minute. Are you saying, am I understanding this correctly, Beth? He said that the place where he voted was like curtained off so nobody could see him in that room, and the key to the machine that he was voting on was attached to it?
With a bread tie, yes.
With a bread tie.
And he called the poll workers' attention to it, and they took it off and said, oh, that shouldn't have happened. But it just, you know, there's so many more details to manage with
these
things.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
And then the fact that, in a way, you know, the Princeton study, and we also noticed this when we studied the machines in Utah, you can use the little round key to a hotel bar key, you know, the thing that opens up your little... And you can get into the voting machines. It's a machine. It's a key you can buy at a hardware store for $1. You know, so it's, and they use the same key for all the machines. It really is ballots in Wonderland. Through the rabbit hole. You just go, what in the world were we thinking when we did this? And I think what happened is you got a bunch of greedy vendors in there.
How much money are we talking about, Beth?
Oh, you know, the $4 billion that was allocated by HAVA is just the tip of the iceberg. The vendors are making their money on ongoing technicians, where they send all these rovers out in the field at $1,200 a day to help. And they're also making it on replacement systems. The systems become obsolete in about 3 years, and they have to replace them.
Boy, that's great money, isn't it?
Oh, yes. And they have annual licensing fees, too, that you have to pay. I've seen some of their financials. And the annual fees are just amazing. They're like, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars that you pay annually for the right to use this stuff. So they're making their money on the residuals. And I think once people really see how much money, I believe that in Sarasota they calculated, so it was something, it was either $12 or $22 a vote. It was a very large amount of money that is spent on technology that are indirect costs.
So if we just turned around and took that money, that $12, $20 per vote that was being spent in Sarasota, and paid people to count the ballots at the precinct, the individual precincts, it would be cheaper, wouldn't it?
Yes, and get the jurisdictions smaller. These million voter, you know, Los Angeles, 6 million people, 4 million voters. That's too many to administer. And of course, they think they have to go to all this. But what they do in New Hampshire and in Wisconsin and Vermont and several other places is they make smaller jurisdictions. It's not rocket science. They say, okay, you know, the biggest jurisdiction is 3,000 people, and most of them are around 1,000. So the jurisdiction is about the size of a polling place. And they don't have a full-time elections administrator. They have somebody come in, you know, on a very part-time basis, and very citizen-oriented and community-oriented, and it really does work. 45% of New Hampshire this November was hand-counted at the polling place.
Wow.
And you didn't see much controversy coming out of there.
Not at all. Bev Harris, director of blackboxvoting.org, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For joining me. Take care now.
Thanks.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. We have much business to talk about. I will be taking open lines in the next hour, so join me at 1-877-920-WGNU. We have much business to tend to. I'll be back after the news.
Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease,
war itself. We believe that all men are...
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Seems kids spend more time than ever these days on the Internet, instant messaging, checking out sites like MySpace.com, and, yes, doing homework. And if you ask a growing number of parents, that time is getting a little excessive. 1 in 5 told a USC study that their kids need a break from the PC. Good luck, says researcher Jeffrey Cole. So much of kids' life is online.
They are in social networks. They're watching videos on YouTube and other places. They're doing a wide range of activity.
Now, if that time is spent playing some kinds of video games, maybe, Mom and Dad, you should worry. A new study says just playing the violent kind for a half an hour increases activity in the area of the brain that causes kids to fight and decreases in the area that's in charge of self-control. One group has a new name for these games, Killer Graphic. Here's ABC's Jim Hickey.
Tony Montana. Don't die that easy.
Based on a 1983 movie starring Al Pacino, the video game Scarface, The World Is Yours, is filled with virtual violence and bloodletting.
Get revenge.
That is why it is on the top 10 list of so-called killographic games compiled by the Institute on Media and Family. The Institute blames parents for not controlling what their kids watch and play, saying adults are falling far behind as computer technology grows more sophisticated and realistic.
You want a piece of me?
Jim Hickey, ABC News.
There's a lot at stake for such a short meeting. President Bush heading to Jordan to sit down with Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki.
The real fear here is that the U.S. and Maliki have different goals, that Maliki wants a Shiite-dominated government. The U.S. wants all parties represented.
ABC's Martha Raddatz in Amman, Jordan. The first funerals will be held today in Anderson, Missouri, for the 10 victims of this week's fatal fire at a group home. Authorities are still looking for the cause. ABC News Money Scope. The Dow is up 37 points. NASDAQ ahead 13. This is ABC News.
I'm cruising in my ride. 16 switches. You gotta get my floss on. Watch your
minute.
life may never be clean, but with Hoover, your floors can be. Hoover Floormate cleans all your hard floors. Hoover Wind Tunnel 2 Upright vacuums your carpets. Buy them together and get up to a $100 mail-in rebate. So use Hoover and keep it clean. Offer varies. See Hoover.com and participating dealers for details. Expires 1-7-07.
I'm a mother of three. I'm a three-time Wimbledon champion, and I'm just beginning a whole new career. And whether you're an active mom or a pro athlete, we all face the same threat to our lives and health, osteoporosis. That's why I take CitraCal calcium supplements, because bone loss and osteoporosis are not going to slow me down. I'm Chris Evert. I'm 51, and I am strong.
Tell us about a strong woman you know at StandStrong.com. CitraCal calcium. Stand strong.
38,000 Ford employees are leaving the company. Their choice, they took early retirement or buyout packages the carmaker offered. If you're buying a car, one thing you're probably going to consider is the resale value. The 2007 Hondas and Acuras are number one in Kelly's Blue Book. Number two, Volkswagen. The Pontiac Solstice is the only American-made car in the top 10. A legendary part of New York City will soon be history. Here's ABC's Dave Schreiber.
It's as well known as New York's Empire State Building or the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Things are changing for the Astroland Amusement Park, a Coney Island legend. The Brooklyn Park is being sold and will close down at the end of the summer. The beachfront fixture had a 45-year run. Local legend had it that the hot dog was invented on that site. The buyer is a developer who wants to convert Coney Island to a year-round resort with amusements, a hotel, and other attractions. Dave Schreiber, ABC News, New York.
And I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
This report of WGNU News is brought to you by Missouri Lottery Scratchers. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, new information is expected this morning about a deadly fire at a Southwest Missouri assisted living facility. The fire at the Anderson Guest House early Monday morning killed 10 people and injured 24 more. According to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, investigators do not think the fire was arson, and they don't expect any arrests. More details are said to be released at a press conference set for 10 this morning in Anderson. A Belleville man will spend 7 months in prison for threatening bodily harm to the president. Arafat Nijmeh pleaded guilty yesterday to two charges of threatening President Bush. Prosecutors say Nijmeh made threats against the president twice while confined at the Alton Mental Health Center in March. He had already served 8 months in federal custody while awaiting trial. St. Louis Mayor Francis Slay is renewing his call for a state takeover of the St. Louis public schools. Slay says it would be, quote, plain wrong to allow the district to continue to betray the futures of thousands of students, end quote. Slay cites several events since April, including the ouster of former Superintendent Craig Williams, the district's continuing budget problems, and the battles among the school board members. And finally, at this hour, a man is recovering after being struck by a tractor trailer in Ladue yesterday morning. Police say the 49-year-old victim was changing a tire on the shoulder along westbound 40 near McKnight when he was hit. The victim's injuries are said to be non-life-threatening. Police say the semi-driver most likely will not be charged. And that's an update of WGNU News for this hour. It's been brought to you by Missouri Lottery Scratchers. This holiday season, give everyone on your list Missouri Lottery Scratchers. They're a great gift for them and an easy gift for you. I'm Peyton Colston reporting WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Tahiti Village. Westbound 70 at Grand, there's a disabled bus blocking the right lane. Traffic is slowing near Madison. Southbound 270 on the ramp to 44, look for an accident to have been cleared, but you may see some residual delays. Big Bend at Sappington, there's an accident reported. There are a number of ongoing construction projects right now, and just use caution and slow down through those work zones. The only other delays you'll see are probably those coming in on the King Bridge and on the Poplar Street Bridge into downtown for that last-minute rush of the rush hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Tahiti Village. Why haven't you called Tahiti Village yet? You've heard Tanya Roberts on the radio offering couples complimentary three-day, two-night hotel in Las Vegas. So call today, 877-57-VEGAS. That's 877-57-VEGAS. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers today with a high around 70 this evening. Much colder, occasional showers and thunderstorms early in the evening, then occasional rain late evening and overnight hours with a low in the lower 30s. Moving on to Thursday, much colder, blustery, occasional rain, freezing rain and sleet in the morning and early afternoon, then occasional snow in the late afternoon hours with a high in the mid-30s, but the temps will be falling into the 20s by the afternoon. For Thursday evening, heavy snow accumulations are possible, the lows in the mid-20s. Then on Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day with a high around 30. Currently we have cloudy skies. Our current temperature is sitting at 62 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 64. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's open line, so get on the phone now and tell Liz what's on your mind right here on AM 920 WGNU. We'll be back with your news and your weather at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. And I want to remind you all about the blanket drive, the wake-up call blanket drive, third annual blanket drive, December 15th. Put it on your calendar. It's coming up real soon here. You can come on over to the station on December 15th, drop the blankets off at the station. We'll have curbside pickup, drop off. We'll also, you can come on in and have a cup of hot coffee, have a cup of hot cocoa, have some donuts, have it all as we gather blankets for the Wake Up Call Blanket Drive this year, December 15th. Volunteers meeting is Friday at 6 o'clock at Irene J. Smith's place right there at Union and 70, the White House there. So we need your volunteering, and we need your help, and we need your blankets. We've already gotten we have 8 blankets here this morning because we got $20 from Howard, and we got $20 from Peter Downs. We're off and running, folks. We are asking folks to go out and to get the $5 blankets that they have at the dollar store. They have them at Kmart. You can get them for $5, folks. So get on out there, get the blankets, and let's make this blanket drive truly, truly, truly an amazing thing. Third time's the charm. My name is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That is the phone number. Christine.
Yes, if I may, Liz, I'd like to comment on a couple of things. I'd like to comment on Bev Harris from Black Box Voting, and I would also like to comment on the Russian KGB agent that was had death by poison. As far as Bev, she had made the statement that she didn't think that these people who were in control of the Diebold electronic machines and other machines were partisan. I think they were partisan and are partisan because you remember the guy, I don't remember his name, but he was a criminal enterprise offender who said that flip-flopping W, a.k.a. the war president, had the election in the bag because he was in control.
That was the president,
yeah, machine.
The president of Diebold, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So wouldn't you say that was very partisan?
I think I tend to agree with Bev from the perspective of I think it's dangerous to I think that your statement is correct that was partisan, but I think it's dangerous to reduce the argument into a partisan issue because there are Democrats out there that are attempting to can take advantage of and can take control of the same thing. I don't think that because you are a Democrat means that you're not going to try and take advantage of and win an election either. I think that we all as citizens need to be concerned if it's a motivating thing for a person to understand it as a Democratic, as a Republican, because there are Republicans fingerprints on this, that's fine, but I tend to agree with her that I'm not going to look at it in totally as a partisan thing.
I can agree with that, and also she was saying about those metal ballot boxes. I mean, at least you can know where they are, but you can't see what's going on. But in France, they have their ballot boxes. They're made out of that hard bulletproof plastic.
And you can see them.
And you can see everything that's going on.
All
and
right.
I wish I had time to talk about the KGB agent that was murdered.
Okay. I'll talk about him when I come back, okay?
I wanted to add something to what you want to talk about.
Okay. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back. Stay with me. Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when wake-up call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual wake-up call blanket drive. The blanket drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. For the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
For a look at the world news that matters most to you, tune in to AM 920 WGNU's Global News Updates. Weekday mornings, 7:45, 8:45, and 9:45. Weekday evenings at 6:45. Sponsored by Reasonable Construction. 314-382-2200.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Grandma's hands you used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hands picked me up each time I fell low. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in a handy. She'd say, Matty, don't you whip that boy. What you want to spank him for? He didn't drop no apple core.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get up, get to me. Barry, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Have I got some news for you?
What's that?
You know how you were talking about the amendment on the ballot on the taxes on smoking and whatnot?
Yes.
Well, to show you how interested our governor is in the citizens of the state of Missouri, under the Medicaid cuts that were provided under his directive,
mm-hmm.
What's interesting is that the people who lost their dental coverage, if they develop oral cancer or whatever, you know, due to the fact of, you know, because of the fact they are smokers, if, you know, it's in the early stages and they can catch it, you know, to it, you know, getting really advanced, there is no help under smoking cessation from Medicaid.
Huh?
Yes.
Huh?
Seriously.
Well, isn't that interesting? I thought they wanted to help.
I thought so, too.
I thought that the money... I thought the money... I thought the money was exactly for that.
I thought so, too, but apparently it's not the case. But if you talk to recipient services... because I knew somebody that was going to try to quit, and they said, no, we don't offer any assistance.
Well, then what's your point?
Well, I'm just saying, you know.
No, I mean, what's the point of the program?
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, I misunderstood you. I apologize.
No. I mean, what is the point of the program?
Yeah, exactly. You know, because I thought that, you know, it would be savings in dollars, you know, to the state for people quitting. And unfortunately, they're not quite seeing it that way. They say one thing and do another.
Absolutely. And that's why I didn't support that bill.
Right.
That's why.
I just thought that would bring that to your attention.
Well,
I didn't know if you knew about it or not.
No, I did not. Thank you for that, Barry.
Thank you for your time, Liz. And you have a great week. And if I don't speak to you before the holidays, you have a great holiday season.
Thank you, Barry. You too.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. And I want to talk about an issue that really should be in the forefront, because and particularly for those of us that live in the city of St. Louis. St. Louis has been voted, assessed as the most dangerous city in the United States of America. Not number 2, not number 3, not number 4, not number 500. It is the number 1 most dangerous city in the United States. You can hear the whining from Francis Slay and his sycophants. You can hear all of that. But the fact of the matter is that we're a dangerous city. And isn't it just foul that Francis Slay is talking about, I want to take over the school board. I think we should take over the school board. Boy, if you don't shut up and sit down someplace, how about this? How about taking on the crime that's going on in this city? How about that? Why don't you deal with some of the problems that are on the street? You're the one that messed up the St. Louis public schools. As a result of your ignorant, money-motivated, Republican-inspired meddling, there have been 5 superintendents by the idiots that you put in charge. One of the things that Francis Slay is saying is, oh, this was a problem that we eliminated, that Craig Williams is no longer the superintendent. Do you know that Craig Williams eliminated first-year algebra for all junior high school kids? He ought to be running. Somebody should go find him, bring him back to St. Louis, and run him out of town on a rail. Somebody should go find out where that man lives, bring him back to St. Louis, and then run him out of town on a rail. That's Francis Slay's solution. Let's go take over something that I screwed up. Crime is a serious issue in the city of St. Louis. There are businesses that are being broken into week after week after week. You know what? There's one business that I know of. One black-owned business that I know of. Somebody broke into their business. Talked to the alderperson. The alderperson got some police down there to sit in front of the building in the early hours to watch over the building and some of the other businesses nearby. There was a white police officer that called the news and complained that police cars were sitting out in front of this black-owned business when they could be doing something else. Now let's just deconstruct that for a second. Let's just deconstruct that for a second. You called the news? Was it because you didn't like sitting in front of a black-owned business? How many times have you ever heard a cop call the news and complain about having to provide protection to businesses that have been broken into? It wasn't just this business. Businesses all in this area were being broken into on a regular basis. I bring this story up because I want you to understand the mentality of the place where we find ourselves in. The mentality of the folks that are in particular positions in the city of St. Louis. I blame that cop, but I don't blame him entirely. The fact of the matter is that Francis Slay contributes mightily to that mentality. Francis Slay has said, well, you know, there's certain parts of town that, you know, that's where the problem is. Other than that, it's all good. And if you want more police protection, then you should just go spend more money, raise the taxes in your community, and hire private cops to police your streets. But by the way, let's vote for a raise for police officers. And by the way, let's ask police officers, let's allow cops to move out of the city of St. Louis. And by the way, let's let the police civilian employees live outside, take our money and live outside, take that money elsewhere and live outside of the city of St. Louis. Let's do that. And by the way, I want to take over the St. Louis public schools. Crime is a huge problem. Crime is a huge problem in the city of St. Louis, and it is a problem because of the leadership of Francis Slay and Joe Mokwa. It is a problem because of Francis Slay and Joe Mokwa. Make no mistake about it. They don't, just like, and I, the reason I bring up the St. Louis Public Schools is because there is a plan of attack that is not new. How do you respond to the fact that we have the number one in the nation rating of the most crime-ridden city in the entire United States? We point to an area of the city and say it's all their fault. Point to an area of the city that you have trashed by virtue of lack of resources, by virtue of a PR campaign, by virtue of the demonization of a part of the city. Then you're also playing to your base. You can tell your base that no, the city's not dangerous. It's just that part over there in the city that's dangerous. Don't worry. Is this a familiar thing? Is this a familiar thing? Sure it is. Sure it is. Same way that he trashed the St. Louis public schools. You trash them, you turn them into a thing with no value. And then you go suck all the money out of it. Case in point, where does the block grant money go that the north part of the city creates a huge amount of money coming to the city for block grants? Does it go to North St. Louis? Nope, it goes to downtown. Francis Lay doesn't care about whether the kids in the city of St. Louis are educated. He just wants the money. And what better way to control the money than to have a state takeover? Because then he gets to appoint the members of the board. And he gets to have his greedy little fingers, his greedy little incompetent fingers on the money once again. I'm telling you, folks should lose their dang mind if Francis Lay, if the state of Missouri gives Francis Lay another shot at our school district. People should lose their mind. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I'll be back. Stay with me. Have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, every single thing that you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. You need a treadmill, they got it. You need a dishwasher, they got it. Get on down to Sears at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Get your shop on and tell them that Liz Brown told you to.
This is Esther Wright, General Manager of WGNU. I would like to take a moment to congratulate Liz Brown, winner of the 2006 award for Best Political Coverage Radio from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. Her discussion last January of the continued delay of government aid to victims of Hurricane Katrina is just another reason why we call it award-winning. Tune in weekday mornings at 6 a.m. to hear Liz Brown on the award-winning wake-up call, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. Animals have always mattered to me, so that's why we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your animal companions. Join us as our special guests and I examine puppy mills, parrots, turtles, ferrets, and answer your questions about pet care. For 2 hours of fur, friends, and fun every week, join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales, Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU. Woof!
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I can't turn back. My heart is fixed. My mind's made up. I'll never stop in my faith. We'll see me through. Let me tell you.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. You're on the Wake Up Call.
TC, good morning, my beautiful sister.
TC, good morning.
I just have to commend you on that piece you just did about this clown that's in the mayor's seat. When Outstate Missouri was voting on that bill to get a police officer a way to get out the city, he didn't even have anybody up there fighting for it. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. These bigots who think the city is not good enough to live in, but good enough to take their money. I hope they get rid of all of them. That includes the mayor, the police chief, and any of these rogue cops, and any other city employees. The city is not good enough. See, that's what the hypocrites are all about. If the city is not good enough to live in, why would you take the city money? And this mayor was on the sideline, didn't fight for it, didn't come out strongly against it. And the reason he didn't is because he's a bigot. He doesn't care about the city of St. Louis. Maybe he cares about downtown and maybe part of the south side. But the reason that a lot of people don't speak up in certain situations is because they're bigots. And because of their bigotry, they can't see what the real problem is. If the city is not good enough for you to live in, you should be man enough or woman enough or have enough honor about yourself not to take a dime from the city. And I'm glad you brought that up. And that police officer or any other police officer, if that had been a white-owned business, he wouldn't have opened his mouth.
He wouldn't have opened his mouth. He wouldn't have said anything. He wouldn't have complained. He wouldn't have complained about it, because the fact of the matter is that all of our businesses need protection. All of them do, and cops do that all the time. They go and sit outside in certain areas and watch the businesses. They do that all of the time. Why would, and the cop that did that should lose their job. Should absolutely lose their job. There was a news story on that. This cop called, a white cop called to complain about having to sit and watch a black-owned business, and that cop was concerned about the crime that was on the street. Because if he was, he would have been there.
It always comes down to what I tell you, young lady. It always comes down to the issue of race is just American as mom, apple pie, and baseball. When it all said and done, you don't have to check for it. You don't have to dig deep. The issue of race is paramount. As always, young lady, I love you. Keep up the good work.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. We need to talk about the man, Sean Bell, who was shot 50 shots were fired. 50 shots. 50 shots. All undercover cops. This is a man that was celebrating his wedding. He was getting ready to get married the next day. He was getting ready to get married. He was 23 years old. He was a baby, 23 years old, shot dead. He was at his stag party, shot dead. He didn't have a gun. He didn't do anything. And he was shot dead. Amadou Diallo, shot 41 times. 41 times. Jesus. You just held on to the trigger and just said, die. You just said, die. Fifty times they fired. No, there's no excuse for this. No, there's no defense for this. The cops that did it should be gone. And these are undercover cops. They're supposed to be the ones with the most training. They're supposed to be the ones with the most... you go from being a beat cop to an undercover cop. That's a promotion, isn't it? They're supposed to be the ones with the most street sense. You know, that's what they're supposed to be. They're not supposed to be any 15-minute rookie. Snot-nosed, fresh out of the academy. 18-year-old, 19-year-old. These are the dudes that have been on the street and supposed to know what they're doing, and they shot 50 times and killed Sean Bell. Outrageous. Outrageous. And the crime in the city of St. Louis is out of control. Out of control. Why? Because they ain't trying to police. They ain't trying to police. 1-877-920-WGMU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning. I wanted to say two things. You almost made me forget what I was going to say. But when it came to Sean Bell, I think they knew him and they wanted him dead because they may have either known he knew something or they thought he knew something and he could tell it.
No, nope, I don't even think it was that deep. They saw a black man,
no,
they're dead.
Think it was, I think it's deeper than
Amadou Diallo. Amadou Diallo, they didn't know. They they pumped 41.
Know that either, they're not going to tell it.
But see, but the only reason, wait a minute. The only reason that I am saying that is because then you're giving them an excuse.
I'm not giving them an excuse.
Yeah, you are.
I'm telling you facts, being a Southerner. And the other thing I wanted to say, and when it comes to them, I want to...
I can't hear you with that clanking.
I think it's because they are the ones, I have heard of this, they are the ones doing the stealing. When you got to have them watch themselves, then they don't want to do that. They don't want to watch when their friends are stealing. They know that's the reason why he called in. He was angry because some of the other friends had gotten some stuff. He can't get anything.
All right.
And I think that's what that's all about.
All right.
All righty. Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I don't think they knew him. I think that they saw his color and did it. I don't think so. Sure, it's a possibility, but when you introduce that, then it gets away from the complete awfulness of this. They didn't know Amadou Diallo. They just saw his color and pulled the trigger and said, die. Die. Die, die, die. 1-877-920-WGNU. Juanita.
Hi, Liz. How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Yeah, I heard the other day the police that beat this child that had sickle cell.
Mm-hmm.
It was on tape, and they beat him. I think they were charged for that or convicted or something.
Mm.
You know, the coroner examiner, first he lied, said, oh, no, that wasn't it. But I think they said Jed Bush got another coroner that said that they smothered him. They stepped on his face or something and smothered him, and he couldn't breathe anymore. And, they killed that guy, that child.
That baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is that it's like prosecutors and police. We wouldn't have as many of these crimes, because we would have some of them because we're human, and they're going to be awful people that do awful things.
Of course.
But you don't create an environment where people can do awful things, and then you don't punish them for these awful things.
I always say it that way.
You know, prosecutors should have to go to jail. But, well, no, here, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that prosecutors should have to go to be able to be sued, and they should have to go to jail like everybody else.
Exactly.
You can't. It's against the law to sue a prosecutor for pursuing you wrongfully. That's stupid. That is absolutely stupid. If we had laws on the books that would allow us to prosecute judges and prosecute prosecutors with the same enthusiasm that you prosecute some 17-year-old poor kid from South St. Louis, then we wouldn't have a lot of this mess.
Well, I'm going to make it my point that call Claire McCaskill and ask her, can she put a bill out for that?
All right. Yeah. All right. Thank you for that.
All right. Bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
You know, the police force is nothing but hired assassins by the state. When it comes to black people, they're hired assassins. And like you said, don't give them no excuse and say they must have had it in for him. They had it in for him because he was black. And they had like they have it in for all black youth today. And you'll see it from state to state. It's just more bold in the larger places like New York and Los Angeles. But it's been since the 60s. They always had it in for you to kill you with no real reason. They don't want you to multiply. You have a good day, Liz.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz.
Yes.
I wanted to say you had a very interesting show, and I just wanted to bring up one word, clueless. That's what you are. You're clueless.
Because? You big fat baby. You big fat baby. Where'd you go? And that's something. You're clueless. And because? Did you learn a big word today? Is that what it is? Are you getting to your C's? We've gone through A's, we've gone through B's, and now we're getting through C's. Is that a new word that we learned in nursery school today? Blues Clues taught you clueless? You big fat baby, if you got something to say, come on with it. You notice the key phrase, though? Listening to your show today. I bet you are, baby. The truth is compelling. Can't stop yourself. Can't stop yourself. Want to donate something for the blanket drive? My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
GNU Global News Update brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston. Dateline Hamburg, Germany. A German court has set 5 different dates to sentence a Moroccan man for his role in the 9/11 attacks on the United States. The 32-year-old man, whose name has not been released, was a member of a group of radical Arab students in Hamburg who helped organize the attacks on New York and Washington, D.C. The ruling by Germany's top appeals court overturns a 7-year sentence given to the Moroccan for being a member of a terrorist group. The court set 5 dates over which it will determine his new prison sentence in early 2007. And in Cuba, they're celebrating Fidel Castro's 80th birthday. Only the ailing leader will miss all the festivities. Castro has not been seen in public since undergoing an emergency surgery in late July. Some are saying the festivities are more of a farewell than a birthday celebration. Celebrations were scheduled for August 13th, Castro's actual birthday, but were postponed until December 2nd, the 50th anniversary of the day he seized power. That's a WGNU Global News Update brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate. 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
Just because winter's upon us, that's no reason to give wildlife the cold shoulder. Invite birds to your feeder by planting native shrubs. Chickadees, cardinals, wrens, and nuthatches will flock to them. You can put out buttonbush, sumacs, and winterberry anytime before the ground freezes. They'll provide your winged guests with shelter and produce food to keep them coming back next spring. For more ideas, contact a Grow Native nursery online at grownative.org.
Grow Native.
Sponsored by the Missouri Department of Conservation and participating nurseries.
Hello,
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Here's something that you all need to do. I'm going to insist that you all do this, okay? Because this is madness what is happening with our public schools. On Thursday from 2:30 to 4:30, the Engineers Club of St. Louis, they're having a forum. And Francis Slay's office is going to speak on the St. Louis public schools. I think everybody needs to be there tomorrow at 2:30 to 4:30 at the Engineers Club. That's 4359 Lindell Boulevard. You're supposed to call 534-6015, 534-6015. Call, give them a name, tell them you're coming, and when you get there, you need to talk to Francis Slay in his office about, explain to me why you should have any control over a district that lost 23 points when you were in charge. Explain why you were in charge of a district that there were 5 superintendents in less than 2 years. Explain why parents took their kids out of the St. Louis public schools when you were in charge. Explain why it made sense to spend $6 million for a paid assassin by the name of Bill Roberti, that he lived in the Chase Plaza as a hotel and made money and had an open account at some of the most expensive restaurants in town. Explain why your dumb self should be in charge of anything. Y'all need to be at this meeting tomorrow, and the address is 4359 Lindell, the Engineers Club, from 2:30 to 4:30 tomorrow. The number that you call to make your reservation is 534-6015, 534-6015. You all need to be there. This is just absolutely unacceptable. How dare they be not ashamed to raise their heads and talk about anything about the St. Louis public schools. They and Robin Wabi, who is one of the chief hench people for the destruction of the St. Louis public schools, is going to be talking about what should be done in the St. Louis public schools. How about fire you? 1-877-920-WGNEU. And you want to hear some more madness? You want to hear how much madness is going on in our world. I want you to understand this.
an Israel-born man of Palestinian descent. Okay, he already has a world of trouble here in the American, in America. He's an Israel-born man of Palestinian descent. Arafat Nijma was sentenced to federal prison time. He pled guilty to two felony counts of threatening Boy George. Okay. I understand that people should not be able to make threats against the head of any nation. That's why I think that Pat Roberts should have gone to jail for threatening to kill the president of Venezuela. I think it's an awful thing. He said he should be killed. But what you need to understand, the madness of Boy George and his administration is this. And the question that you should be asking is this. Where was Arafat Nijma when he threatened Boy George? He was confined in an Alton Mental Health Center. Do you hear me? This administration is busy putting people behind bars for threatening Boy George while confined in a mental health center. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Oh, yeah, he is a Palestinian. You hear me, don't you? And he's already served 8 months waiting for trial. He was charged with threatening Boy George while he's confined in a mental health center, and they sent him to jail for it. These are the same clowns that couldn't find the weapons of mass destruction. 1-877. The world that we live in is something else. It's something else. Ken.
Yeah, you know, Liz, I wanted to ask about what would need to happen to file a class action suit against the city of St. Louis for the criminal neglect of its people. Because their job is to protect and serve this community, and it is it is something that has been going on for generations now. Our schools didn't just get bad. Our schools have been bad for a long time. And the matter of fact, the children now that are in school are the children of the kids that weren't served 20 years ago. So it is this generational thing of taking more and more from our black community. Our schools get worse. And you mentioned earlier about getting rid of algebra. How do you get rid of algebra learning environment?
You get rid of algebra. First year algebra has been eliminated. You get rid of it because you have someone like Francis Slay, who has control over the St. Louis public schools. He hires a clown that has never been a superintendent anywhere, has never had any real position of running any district anywhere. You hire him, pay him over $300,000, more than anybody in his position is paid in the entire United States, and you give him the charge of destroy the St. Louis public schools. Make it so that nobody would want to send their baby there.
Okay.
Bet.
Well, how do you get started on a class action suit? Because I cannot believe that this hasn't happened sooner. Because you can look at the stats over at least two generations to see how it has been a gross misuse of power. So many times money goes everywhere else except to our communities to help our young people. And we've got the money. The money has been in St. Louis. St. Louis is not a poor city. So the money is there. Why is it not getting to the kids? And I believe it's criminal neglect of our people, and we need to make sure that a class action suit is started somewhere and started soon. Because until that happens, until they have to answer for it, and not just answering at the polls, until they have to legally answer for it, I don't think it's going to change. Because make the job difficult enough to say, well, whoever takes responsibility for the schools will be legally responsible for it as well. Mm. So how do you start a class action suit, win or lose? It needs to be done.
Mm. I like that. I like that.
You know, and one thing about another thing that a back door negative thing that has happened about the schools and about North St. Louis is that it is a perpetual device to divide African American leaders. It is always used to divide us. We don't realize how much money is used to pull people to one side or the other while constantly de-uniting us. We have in the city of St. Louis some of the most brilliant minds, I think, in any large city of this size. And they're more divided than any other city I've ever lived in. So they're constantly kept fighting each other instead of working to fight the problems in the city of St. Louis. And that's one of the hugest problems we have, because if these so educated brothers and sisters would spend more time working together and solving one problem at a time in our neighborhood, we would get more done.
Absolutely.
We can't get anything done because the first thing that happens is that some white person pulls money out and people jump and fly for it. So, all right, Liz, thank you.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz, you were...
Wait a minute. You're supposed to eat your hat. You're supposed to eat your hat. You are supposed to... Isn't this the caller that said if the Democrats win and George Bush loses, you were supposed to eat your hat? Have you eaten your hat yet?
Hello, Liz.
Have you eaten your hat yet, Michelle? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the election results and how the Republicans were thrown out of office. Just like a typical Republican, you don't want to face the facts. Or, like a typical Republican, you're a liar. Which one is it? Which one is it, Michelle? Eat your hat. Tell us how it tastes. Eat your hat.
Okay,
that's what I mean. You said you were going to eat your hat. You said you'd eat your hat if this ever happened. And just like a typical Republican, you lied. Or, no, there is no or. Carol, good morning.
Good morning. I was calling to find out whether or not you heard about the woman, the 92-year-old
woman in Atlanta that got shot. I talked about that a little earlier, and I'll talk about it some more tomorrow. Thank you for that. I will mention that tomorrow, Carol. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, wake-up call. Don't forget about the blanket drive on the 15th of December. I'll be back tomorrow.
Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
Stay strong.